This is PFW in progress.
All right, listen up, guys. It was the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring except the four ass coming in the rear in standard 2x2 cover formation.
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
Relax. We got everything in this mug, man. Look at this: CD, CB, TV, telephone, full bar, VHS.
Ready for some tunes?
Hey, out of work.
Christmas music?
This is Christmas music.
Paul Perillo.
It's Christmas Eve. Families, stockings, chestnuts, Rudolph and Frosty. Any of these things ring a bell? Go join the party, have some champagne. You're making me feel like Ebenezer Scrooge. You pull out, Mr. De Niro. Do you think the baby can handle a little sip? That baby's ready to tin bar.
And Andy. And Andy?
I think it's very depressed this time of year. He thought he was God's greatest gift, you know?
Andy Hart.
Sorry to waste your time.
No problem at all.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you.
Some guy named Tom.
A machine gun.
Ho, ho, ho.
PFW in progress.
This is their idea of Christmas. I gotta be here for New Year's.
Oh, the weather outside.
All right, it's PFW in progress. Gary's getting us into the Christmas mood here as we're getting closer to that big day. But, you know, before we get into it, I gotta talk. Did you hear the show yesterday, Gary? Tom Casale revealed to us his lurid past when he was a personal trainer and how he would, on the side, take these older women and have his way with them.
Oh.
So
I go in, I pull that lever down, and I say, there, I've done my duty.
He revealed the seedy side of personal training yesterday. It's a whole part of Tom Casale we never knew. So, Gary, I'm thinking that his theme song should be Just a Gigolo. From now on, when we introduce Tom, we introduce him to Just a Gigolo.
I think I actually know that song.
But it was very interesting, and I think anyone that missed yesterday's show should listen to it in the archive. And
anyone who's interested in Tom Casale's
we're
past.
Finding out more and more about Tom every day.
Not a lot of it good.
No, I'm telling you, it's a very lurid past. But he, you know, he's up front with it. He's
makes you wonder about the present.
he is, you know, confronting his demons, and. You know, but a very, very revealing show yesterday. It was a revelation show yesterday.
Did you talk about the Patriots at all?
A little bit. Just a little bit. But I was fascinated. Anyway, welcome to the show. Fred and Andy here. We'll be here until 2 o'clock. At 1, of course, we're going to do our picks for this week.
Life goes on.
We're on the NFL. There you go.
And just a gigolo.
I was thinking more of the Van Halen version, but that's all right.
That'll be David Lee Roth, and I don't have it.
Okay.
Who's this?
Louis Prima.
Louis Prima. Anyway.
I've actually heard the song. I just never heard of that guy.
Okay. So we'll be going around the picks at 1 o'clock. We have a lot to talk about with the Patriots. Lawrence Maroney was at practice yesterday, although according to Mike Reese, beat writer extraordinaire, he looked a little tender going through some of the drills.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of reading into stuff like that.
He didn't attack the drills like he normally does.
Yeah, again, not a big fan of reading into stuff like that. He passed through the locker room today, didn't speak with the media that I saw.
He looked
Lawrence
good.
Maroney.
According to Paul, he looked okay.
He didn't look good or bad. Yeah, Paul probably listed him as probable. But no, he's questionable. I don't read into stuff like that. I got the feeling talking to someone that maybe he will play, but we'll have to find out. Ronnie Brown is out.
Right.
On the other side, a young, explosive back for the Dolphins. But, you know, Corey Dillon, he's ready to play one out of every three plays.
We'll see. Mike Vrabel is not on the injury report, so that's a good sign. Whatever.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I thought that was minor at the point when they just let him go in the locker room and he was talking and addressed all of that. Serious concussions are serious injuries that they monitor pretty closely. And when you see a guy on his own to go shower, then address the media, all of that led me to believe that it was relatively minor.
Yeah, I think that he got hit just in the right place, and it may not necessarily have been the head. You know, like
he said he didn't remember. That's your brain.
But there's like that karate chop that you can give that cuts off the blood to the brain. And it makes you go unconscious for a second. And
used to use in like the spy movies with one little chop drops the guy.
Yeah.
Who's the only one here who knows the illegal ninja moves from the government?
Exactly.
Or maybe he got the Spock grip.
Could be.
Something like that.
But I think he was out. in that position. And
oh, yeah,
he was. The fact that he didn't remember it, I guess it's a good thing for Patriots fans that he is back and ready to go.
But guys like Watson and Caldwell should take heed. He held on to the ball despite that.
Well, actually, he didn't.
Oh, he didn't?
No, it rolled out of bounds.
It rolled out of bounds. Okay.
Right. And I believe they actually reviewed it to make sure he had possession.
Yeah.
But some I'm trying to think of who had some big – Dan Copen had some crowd today. I didn't really get in on it, but I heard he was sort of talking about Tom O'Brien and the fact that he's reportedly leaving Boston College to go to NC State.
Yep.
Benjamin Watson had a crowd around him basically just talking about the Dolphins in general. Corey Dillon was in there, shot down Mike Reese, but then they sort of had a conversation as they were about 5 yards apart. So there you may read a little something from Corey Dillon and Mike Reese. He started with a no when asked if he had time. But they talked for a little bit, so maybe you'll read some quotes from him tomorrow in the Boston Globe.
Okay, and how was Bill Belichick today? I didn't get a chance to listen to him.
Bill Belichick was fine. Discussed the very impressed with the Dolphins' defense, very impressed with the team as a whole as he watches more film. Talked about their blitzing and their pass rush, and he thinks it's even that much more impressive because they haven't been blowing people out. So they didn't get any cheap sacks when the other team has to throw the ball. All their sacks are legitimate. Talking about man and the blitzes and how they blitz and different things. And spent some time discussing fourth down and going for it and, you know, how happy he is with what they've been able to do. And a little bit of his philosophy there. And also two-point conversions, a similar thing. And, you know, when you go for it, he sort of poo-pooed the chart until late in the game, saying, you know, early in the game, there's so much. When you're talking about 8-9 possessions left to go in the game, I don't think you're going for it at that point unless you have a play that you think is a very good play against them that has a really good chance of working. Then you get the extra point. Otherwise, it's like a missed extra point, and you're chasing that point for the rest of the game. So sort of diverse press conference, a few different topics brought up. But
okay.
Not much news, I would say.
Well, there is news, and it's a rumor, but on Pro Football Talk, there's a big rumor that Alabama was going to have an interview with Nick Saban.
Supposedly last night, right?
Yeah.
Supposedly he interviewed. What I heard in a radio report was that he reportedly interviewed last night and gave them a list of demands of what it would take, what would have to be in place for him to come there. And I know the rumor came up about a week
was
ago.
Was Pigs Flying one of them?
Yeah, I don't know. No, I think that's the problem. I think he seriously is considering
it. Well, then he's a liar.
He said a week. The rumor came up a week ago. He poo-pooed it. And Wayne Huizenga actually said that if he's doing anything with Alabama, I'm going to fire him on the spot.
Right, so he lied to his owner. Right. I'm not talking about what he said to the press because all the coaches, you know, say that. Tom O'Brien said it, you know.
Well, that was funny. That caught some papers off guard because they're still running with the I'm not a candidate for any job story,
right,
and he's
right.
actually hired already in another.
Right, so they all do that, and right. you know, I don't care about that. But when you're with your owner, you got to tell him the truth.
And he has a track record here of seemingly always looking for the next job, Nick Saban, and talking to people and what it's going to take. And I got to tell you, if he leaves there, I lose a lot of respect for him because –
He didn't finish the job.
Didn't even really get it going. Right.
Yeah. And I mean, bringing in Dante Culpepper is not what I call leaving the team in good shape.
And the other right, that's the other you issue. He's not a guy. If he had been just a college coach and went to the pros, and 2 years in realized I hate the pros, I'm not made for the pro game. Whatever. That's different. This guy was an NFL assistant, so he knew to some degree what the job entailed, what the league was about, very friendly with Bill Belichick, so talks to him on a regular basis of what the rigors of the league are, the whole thing.
He might hate Wayne Huizenga, I don't know.
Well, he didn't hate him when he was giving him $5 million a year or whatever he was handing him.
No.
So you take the good, you take the bad. I think that's an embarrassment, and I agree with Huizenga. If he finds out that this is true in any way, fire him on the spot.
Saban might be thinking that, you know, I better get out of here before my last job really is a failure in Miami. Because if he left right now, it would be like, well, he never really had a chance to do anything, blah, blah, blah. But if he stays long enough, he's either going to be proven to be good or bad. So he doesn't want to stay there that long. You know, and if
But he's already proven he's not going to fall on his face.
No, and Alabama is one of the premier football mm-hmm. jobs in America.
In theory. It's been in a tough stretch of late.
It's been in a tough, which is good for a guy because you can only go up.
Right.
At one of the...
Well, it's definitely one of those where you have, like, your God.
Right.
I mean, you have
right.
a state trooper with you at all times protecting. You're virtually the president of Alabama
right.
at that point. You probably, you make more, I would assume, than the governor. You, well, yeah, way more than the governor. That was a dumb thing to say. Way more than the governor. You are God of Alabama at that point. So I can see the lure and the attractiveness of it, but what about the lure and attractiveness of you leaving LSU to go to Miami?
Right.
So I just think he's devalued as a person and his whole shtick.
Do you think that has any repercussions on the game?
This week?
Yeah.
Well, obviously, if Huizenga, say, today fires him, yes.
Well, I mean, like, just guys look at him in the locker room and...
No.
I'm not listening to you anymore.
Well, I think they're a veteran-based group and probably have pretty good leadership in the locker room.
That would be kind of cool if Huizenga fired him before
well, it'd
the
be
game.
Kind of... I mean,
kind
it's
of
like
what the Patriots
yeah,
did with
what was
Chuck
that,
Fairbanks.
78 or...
Yeah, when he
one
went
of those
to Colorado.
Years. And it would be even better if Saban left and... Are they in a bowl game? That would be intriguing if he went and took over and coached a bowl game.
Alabama.
Because they went 6-6 this year, right? So they'd be bowl eligible.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe Tom Casale can email me in if they're in a bowl or not.
They'll probably end up coming down here now that he knows we're talking about college football.
Well, he's got to come down at one anyway, right?
Right.
To go around the league.
But so that's interesting. It's kind of a little subplot. Now, Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio, who runs it, kind of poo-pooed the whole
Fred
thing.
Fred has man love for.
Who kind of poo-pooed the whole thing, saying that, you know...
Well, a little bit of a conflict of interest there, because didn't Nick Saban give him a one-on-one interview?
Did he? I don't know.
I believe a long, long time ago, like 2 years ago, right when Saban first started or something, and Pro Football Talk was still a little ugly stepchild or whatever.
Right.
Saban gave him a one-on-one interview, and he kind of now, you know, that was a pretty cool thing for him.
So now he owes him
So now he might err on the side of, you know, not taking shots at Saban here because
right.
of that.
Right.
They're playing Oklahoma State in the Petro Sun Independence Bowl.
And when is that? You have the date on that?
I'll effort that.
Okay. See, I think that would be a great story. If he got canned today, he goes there, takes over, and coaches the bowl game. That would be tremendous.
Okay. Well.
December 28th.
Oh, he's got time then. Yeah, 3 weeks.
Who is the coach of Alabama?
It was Shula's kid.
That's right.
He's out.
They
he's
don't
canned.
Have a, so who's going to coach that game? The offensive coordinator?
Probably the interim. Yeah, whoever the interim guy is. Unless Shula's still coaching, I guess there's a chance he'd do it. That's one of those things I could never do.
Is O'Brien going to stay for the bowl game, or is he leaving?
I haven't read the stories. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
I don't know. I would think he'd be the kind of guy that would want to stay if they wanted him to stay. He seems like a pretty respectable guy.
I was listening to sports radio, and they were saying that he was a little disappointed at the support, the community support that BC gets.
Why? Did they not sell out at
It's not. I guess they're a late arriving crowd, just
because they're drinking.
Yeah, you know, the kind of, I guess the booster support they get in the community, things like that. I don't know.
Well,
maybe he thinks that, you know, being here they'll never be a real big.
Well, I
program.
Think that's accurate, and I think going to NC State, that's the kind of place where he'll be able to get in a better quality athlete who may be lesser academically. I think BC is pretty. For big-time programs is pretty stringent in their standards for that. So I think he'll have an easier time recruiting, and maybe that'll be enough to get him over the top because, frankly, they've never gotten over the hump. They've
right.
been good enough to win a bad bowl game, that kind of thing. But every time they have that big game where, oh, we can get in the BCS or we can – they lose. So whether that's Tom O'Brien or whether that's the limitation because of the kind of athletes they have, maybe you say – he's outperformed the expectations with the restraints that are on him. I don't know. But he's clearly going to have an easier time recruiting at NC State.
Okay. All right. Well, back to the Patriots. What other issues do we need to bring up before we get to emails today?
Let's see.
Signings? Anything besides when Mickens
Ray
was
Mickens.
Early,
I'm
earlier
assuming you discussed that.
That was early in the week.
Very little.
Yeah.
Very, very little.
Eugene Wilson on IR.
Wilson on IR. Peace. Good riddance.
Yeah. That's about it.
There's not a lot of news. Daniel Graham's a captain now.
Yeah. We talked about that yesterday.
The discussion of that.
You know, what the in-between-the-lines meaning of that all is.
In between the lines, I'm sure you have a good one. They're going to sign him now, right?
No, we don't know.
Because he'll say, you know what? I don't want to make $10 million more. I don't want to catch 70 passes in a season. I'll stay here and be a blocking tackle because they made me a captain.
This was a captain that Belichick picked.
Right.
He did it in week 13 or 14 of the season. I think that basically what he's saying is, you know, we value what this guy does. I think he wanted to show the rest of the team that, you know, a guy who comes out and just blocks sometimes, there's a value to that. We enjoy, you know, we appreciate that. We appreciate the fact that he's just willing to do it, no questions asked.
Why is there not an offensive lineman as a captain?
Well, that's his job. But a tight end.
No. I'm saying if we wanted to. I don't believe there's ever been in my time here an offensive lineman as a captain.
Copen isn't, or never was, no.
Light isn't.
Armstrong was, but that was before your time.
Right, that was.
Before Belichick's time.
And my understanding is he wasn't necessarily the best guy to have as a captain.
You're probably right about that.
But, I mean, if you really wanted to do that and bring the trenches into it, well, then make Stephen Neal a captain or make Dan Copen
maybe,
a captain.
Maybe none of them have earned it yet. The two. You know, they're not young. They're too young. But you know, I guess Watson's the same as Copen. I mean, not Watson, Graham. I don't know. But I think there's more to it. I think it's, you know, why at this time of the season do you
about the family thing?
Do you create a new captain? What's
that? Possibility with the family tie-in? The fact that his brother and mother recently had that an organ transplant surgery. Maybe his dedication to the team and staying here, staying
focused.
That's
the kind of guy we want as a captain.
I think that could tie into
it. It's a reward, I think. Yeah.
Okay. I think it's interesting because of the timing and everything, how it sort of unfolds late in the year.
Yeah.
I think that's interesting. And they had the room. They have now, what, eight captains, I believe?
Right? Yeah.
Because Harrison isn't obviously technically an on-field captain right now because he's not on the field.
Well, you got Izzo, Brady, and Brown, Troy Brown.
Right. But the only, because you're only allowed six, I believe, at the coin toss.
Yeah.
But Brady never goes out because he's always warming up, and Harrison's not out there right now, so that would make sense. They have six guys they can send out because I think they've been going with five
okay.
of late.
All right. Okay. Anything else?
Anything else? Patriots Football Weekly's TV show still rolling along. Great ratings again this week.
Two share.
Did we have a good rating?
0.55 and a two share.
Was the second.
But that's combined.
0.55 combined?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's our worst of the year.
That's not too good.
What happened?
I don't know.
I know what happened. You.
No, I know what happened.
You were babbling through the end of the show.
But they didn't know that until the end. What happened is we got off playing the Lions instead of the Bears. It all has to do with what just happened.
Oh, we suck.
Nobody cares that you just beat the Lions. Everyone cared that we beat the Bears, and so we had a big audience.
Wow, you just ruined my day.
Why?
A combined 0.55.
What, you think four downs for Felger's doing much better than that?
Yes.
No, they're not, really.
They are.
How do you know?
Because I know.
No, you don't.
I know things.
Yeah? What about Patriots tailgate? Think
I don't
they're
know
doing
about
that much?
No, but they stink.
It's the same block of time.
I'd like to hold us to a higher standard.
I would, too. And, you know, we're fledgling. We're just a little show, and we'll get better.
When?
I don't know. Playoffs?
Right now, to me, we're frickin'.
Playoffs?
Dan Graham and Benjamin Watson. We're living off potential.
Wow.
One of these days
we
need to produce.
Well, how do we get better?
Get on a better station with a better set.
Oh, okay.
Anyone who from New England Cable News listening, just a joke.
All right. Okay, well, that was Tuesday night. And
all right, so, yeah, not a lot of news going on. Dolphins week. Tough matchup in Miami. A lot of marketing people making the trip, so we'll be squished
right?
on six
is
buses.
Is this another big
we'll
trip?
Be squished on the plane. We'll be squished on the hotel. I'll be sharing a room with Brian Lowe from Patriots Video News.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, one interesting thing for PVN viewers to look forward to if you live in the Massachusetts and have Comcast cable on demand. Little switch swap of roles today between Patrick Pass and Brian Lowe. Patrick Pass interviewing Brian Lowe.
Really?
I guess it's been a long-standing thing dating way, way back that Pass wanted to do it.
I've fallen, and I can't get up.
And I said, well, the first thing I said, did he drop the mic because his hamstring hurt? But he's wanted to do it for a while, but wanted to wait until he actually played in a game and contributed. So they got him, and he interviewed B. Lowe.
How was it? Did it turn out good?
Apparently it was pretty good. He asked him, sort of led into it with some softball questions about, you know, what's it like when a player doesn't want to talk to you? What do you think fans want to know when you interview a player? And then he asked B-Lo what the team's three biggest weaknesses at this point were.
Now, will they also use that segment on Patriots Today?
I don't know.
They should.
I'm not even sure when it's going to air. I think it's an interesting thing that fans should look forward to. And I watched it sort of transpire, and Pass was very excited about it. He really wanted to do it and seemed to enjoy it, so it's interesting.
We'll get the release press We'll get that he was released, that press release, well, later today.
I got no problem with that.
No? Okay.
You drop the ball like he did, and you literally drop the ball.
All right. Well, they gave him the ball after that fumble. I was surprised to see.
Yeah.
He got another
chance. I was talking about the old one when I would have cut him.
No, I think that in that game he redeemed himself, didn't he?
A little bit, but yeah. It's another weak fumble. Well, I mean, he careless with the ball. You need to this team clearly does not have enough of the like, that's the most important thing. You're carrying a baby. You protect it. Keep it. You know, the whole thing with Bill, and the play starts with the ball in our hands. It needs to end with the ball in our hands. And too often lately, it hasn't.
I wonder why. What has changed?
I don't know, but I believe the numbers from the beginning of the year were 10-6, takeaway, giveaway, or giveaway, takeaway, and it's 18-17 for the second half. I mean, 35 turnovers combined for the two teams in Patriots games over the last 6 weeks versus 16 in the first 6 weeks.
Maybe this is an NFL trend, because I noticed that a lot of games have had multiple turnovers. Maybe this is something we should look at, you know, last year's turnovers versus this year's, not just the Patriots.
It would fall into line with my belief of the league that it's not that good right now.
Well, you know, maybe I don't know what's going on, but we should take a look at it. NFL overall turnovers year to year.
Okay.
See what that
Paul's
that
working on a turnover story, so maybe he'll have a chance to take that angle.
Paul's working?
For a little bit. He won't be happy if he heard that.
All right.
Paul comes to us directly.
Get to the emails.
Telegram and Gazette.
We only got 40 minutes.
Yeah, that's true. We got to get to the emails. Okay, first one comes from Nick from Westford, Vermont, and the subject says, is Andy shrinking? A few random questions. One, you often refer to the issue of Andy losing weight and or shrinking. What's happening? Seriously, is it something we should be concerned about? I'd say yes. I mean, he needs a new supplier. Did your other guy get arrested? Is that why you're off the juice?
I haven't been to the gym but 2 days in the last 2 months. That's
why?
The problem.
Why?
I don't know if you know, I'm building a house and moving and trying to get a lot of crap done.
Well, you're not physically yourself building it.
No, but
someone else is building it.
I was acting
it.
Essentially as the general contractor, so there's a lot of legwork.
Went in as a hot dog and came out as orange fire water.
Has nothing to do with my digestive issues. Those I've had forever and been able to. I just haven't been working out, so I'm losing muscle.
How much weight have you lost?
Down somewhere in the range of 14 to 16 pounds, probably.
You're kidding me.
No. I weighed myself.
Are you
today.
Sure there's not something else going on?
No, I'm not sure, but...
So you had that much water weight that...
No, it's called muscle. Try it sometime.
Well, I don't know. I heard
it's called muscle.
You don't lose
butter
14 pounds of muscle.
Yes, you do.
No, the most you could lose is 7 or 8 pounds.
I disagree. This is how I've been all my life.
Oh, you were that pumped up.
I'll tell you this, during my intern season in the public relations department,
yes,
in the summer before camp started, I weighed my normal like 210 to 215.
Yeah.
By the Super Bowl 36, my suit was hanging off me and I weighed 186 pounds.
Well, that's just artificial stuff then. You can't.
It's called muscle. Try it sometime.
Yeah, but if it doesn't stay on you.
When you
then
were
it's
as big and as pumped as I was,
I think
it's easy to lose it.
I think like you're one of those Reebok sneakers. You have like one of those air pumps.
I think you got a pump. You're full of it.
You don't lose it that quick, Andy.
It's not. It's like a 6 month thing, 8 month thing.
Wow.
That time. This time, we're going past 2 months. I'm at like 2.5 months since I've really been to the gym.
All right. Well, if it's that easy to lose, then there's something wrong to begin with, is what I'm saying.
I disagree.
You know?
That's just the way the world works. You've never had muscle in your life, so you've never been able
to
lose it.
I've never had steroids either.
Neither have I.
Yeah, all right.
You've never carried any muscle on that frame of yours, and it's a lot harder to lose the fat.
Please, please.
Mr. 30 pounds.
I'm wrapped. I'm so wound tight, it's unbelievable.
Just because you're stressed out doesn't mean you're muscular. Those two things are not related.
I gotta lose some weight.
You may be stressed, but you're as soft as the Pillsbury Doughboy.
Oh, all right. There are three audio clips that you play that are so bizarre, I can't imagine the context in which they're said. Can you elaborate on when they were said and why? The first one is, I apologize 1,000 times, and he's attributing it to Robert Kraft. That's actually...
Oh. I apologize 1,000 times to you...
That is a guy named Ted Sarandis. Ted and Paul, back in the 50s, used to do a radio show at night. a sports radio show. Ted Sarandis is an old-time...
Paul Perillo of Patriots Weekly is here. And
talk radio host.
When you see him, you tell him Ted Sarandis says hello.
That's Ted Sarandis. That's who said that. And he got into an argument with a caller once, and a caller called him out on something that Ted Sarandis mistakenly said. And so Ted went off on one of his rants that he apologizes 1,000 times. But Ted and Paul used to be...
They go way back.
Long-time nighttime hosts together.
And Sarandis left EEI, tried to go into a political career, and got 2% of the vote or something.
Well, that's how
8%
that's
of the
really
vote.
How Paul got his start on radio.
No question.
It's through Ted Sarandis.
He owes him everything he has.
Well, this show.
Yeah. I mean, Paul,
like Fred said.
That's what, before Paul was getting paid, he'd get the Teddy 20s.
And he'd buy us lunch, and now he doesn't anymore.
You know, Ted was famous for these $20 gift certificates to Ground Round. So... Now Paul gets real money.
Now he gets real money, and he doesn't spread the wealth.
So that's that one. The next one is Parcells said no disrespect to the Orientals.
No disrespect to the Orientals.
That came during training camp down in Dallas. He was talking about trick plays, and he said in a press conference, yeah, we call them Jap plays.
They're trying to out-Jap each other.
Right. Back in World War II, the Japanese would have surprise attacks. So in football,
called Pearl Harbor, right?
The old-timers call them Jap plays.
And I believe it was today, isn't it?
Right, and which is, of course, very disrespectful, not to necessarily Orientals, which there's no such thing as that, to Japanese people.
Orientals are rug.
Right. So that's what he meant by that. And basically, by saying that, he actually made it worse.
Somewhat another offensive comment this weekend coming out, I believe it was Chris Palmer. A quote he was saying to Parcells, talking about Romo, saying he was off the reservation, which I'm sure is somewhat offensive to Native Americans.
I guess. What did he mean by that?
I don't know, but I'm sure it's somewhat offensive.
Yeah.
And apparently the whole coaching staff needs a little sensitivity training down there.
And then
sort of like this show.
The final quote that is bizarre is...
That's when they smoke it.
That's when they smoke it. And that, I don't know.
Well, it's Bill talking about setting something up, and then that's when they do it. I don't know whether it was a blitz or whether it was an offensive play, but it was talking about setting something up, and then, bam, that's when they smoke.
It has nothing to do with gay porn?
No.
Okay. All right.
Is this what I have to work with? This
Bill Parcells got nothing on you, Freddie.
Right. You're as offensive as they come.
And four, did Tom go to the University of Vermont for college?
No.
No, he did not. He went to, what was it?
Castleton Academy. Castleton
Academy. Castleton, I think.
Castleton.
Yeah.
Not one of your major.
Well, it's got a student population of 32, and I don't know. It's a small school up in Vermont.
Right. That would accept Tom. I think that's the biggest issue in the bottom line there. It's a school that would accept Tom.
Oh, no. Tom is okay. He can be smart when he wants to be.
And while I'm excited about my future at Dighton-Rehoboth, I will miss you.
They had a major in tout, so he did very well there.
And apparently they didn't do background checks on students.
Shane in Miami, I have a question about the Broncos quarterback situation. I realize that Jake Plummer can be a very frustrating player who makes a few bad decisions at bad times. That said, he is above-average starting quarterback who has played in big games and has some playoff wins in his resume. What does Cutler have on his resume other than a few nice plays in the preseason? I understand why the Titans switched to Vinsanity. I understand why the Redskins went with Jason Campbell. Heck, the Vikings might go with Tavares Jackson this week. But those teams, Vikings included, are not going to the playoffs this year. Why put in a rookie quarterback when you're 7-4 and in a playoff chase? Plummer was not that bad, or was he?
Because I think they made the decision that they could not win a Super Bowl with Jake Plummer. And they've been a playoff team for years, competitive. They went to the AFC Championship last year, and Jake Plummer turned the ball over 5 times.
So why did they wait so long, if that's the case?
Because you give him a chance, and he wasn't playing well to start the year. There's a feeling that Shanahan sort of wanted to do it all along. It was just giving him the chance to fail and whatever.
So at the end of the day, Jake Plummer can never say, they didn't give me a chance to...
Right, basically. And I also don't know that you want to throw a rookie quarterback right out there from day one.
Well, that I agree
with. Let him watch a little bit, get a feel for things. He had a good preseason. He's a guy out of Vanderbilt. It's sort of a game or a bad program. I think he got them to 6-6 his last year. He sort of has that, I don't want to say gunslinger. People rally around him, I think. I think there's a confidence in him to be a winner. And I don't think Jake has that, because I personally have always thought he stunk and that he hurts you in the end. He might play good for a while. He had a great year last year in the regular season, and then he craps himself in the AFC Championship. And I think that was the point they reached. This is going to happen sooner or later, and it won't go long enough for us to win a ring. Maybe we can catch Cutler here. If not, if we fail with Cutler, he's still our quarterback of the future, and we're better off next year because he has a half a season of experience right under the belt.
Okay. Well, there you go. And I'm very hungry. So if Paul and Tom is listening, don't come down empty-handed.
Send Kyle out for some of those something.
If anyone flies, I will buy.
Somebody fly, for God's sake. For everybody?
No, just for the flyer.
Can I leave the show?
Yeah, if you want.
I can leave you alone right now and go get food?
Well, no, you can't leave me alone.
Well, so. I would, so can I get in on that just because, you know, all that matters is the thought?
Because
if you'd let me leave, I'd be gone right now going to get food because I'm starving.
Is that right? Really? Well, Tom and Paul, if you're hearing this.
Get us food, please.
Rodrigo is in Atlanta. He says, I'm tired of the other emailers saying that a win is a win when after the Bears win, they were beating the team down. I just don't get it. Would you rather have a bad game against a better team or suck against a 2-10 team? Last time I checked, the Bears had a better D than the Lions, so chew the Pats out for this game, not when they win against a dominant defense. It's amazing that Brady can get the job done in the fourth quarter all the time. Now imagine if he had a running back who got 3 TDs and more than Tom's GPA per carry. Two more things. One, put me down for John's show, the John Rook show.
Yeah, you're down.
And Roy Williams is overrated.
Okay. I agree with that.
I think Tom needs to start a website about that.
RoyWilliamsSucks.com.
Yeah, right.
Tom Brady does not always succeed in the fourth quarter. I can think of back-to-back losses against the Jets and Colts when he had the opportunity and didn't. One of them, obviously, the Kevin Falk off-the-hands interception. But he doesn't always succeed. He's up there. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to bash him, but it's not always. He's failed this year a couple times. Beyond that, the issue, I think, is not just the slop. It's the turnovers. I mean, I think that's the big issue, turning the ball over against the Bears and then turning it over again the next week after Belichick made that a focus, ball handling, keeping the ball, all of that, to have it come up again against a pretty bad football team, and that sort of dug you a hole that you almost lost that game. I think that's the issue more than just not playing well. If they had not played well in a different way, maybe couldn't run the ball or whatever, some different mistakes, but it turnovers, I think, really have people worried of late. That's 8 turnovers in 2 games. People are saying it happened against a good team, it happened against a bad team. If that's a trend that continues, we're done.
Yep. Josh in Jacksonville. I was wondering, I must have missed the injury, what's up with Josh Miller? I'm getting very scared seeing Ken Walter punting. He has done okay for us so far, also holding for Gostkowski, but is Miller coming back?
No,
he is not.
On IR with a shoulder injury.
He is done. Also, I remember hearing information about the Pats are around $10 million under the cap. Have they done anything with this money, or are they going to? And last, I'm going to take Tom's side in his fight against the fans. I think Tom tells it like it is very well, except for the outcome of the Lions game.
He tells it like it is at that moment, because what it is could change 30 seconds later.
Oh.
What was the first question?
Patriots are not $10 million under the cap anymore.
No, it's down in the 7-6 range.
Well, even I hear that even when people were saying they were $10 million, it wasn't really that much.
I didn't think it was, but somebody told me on that for a fact it was, so I don't know who to believe.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because I didn't think, you know, after they gave Seymour some of the bonus, I thought that chopped into it. Then they signed the Copen extension, which not only extended him, but included some finagling to bump some of the money to next year's cap. You know, they've signed a couple veterans now. I know it doesn't seem like a lot, but
right,
you sign a Ken Walter, $800,000. Even if you split it half, you're still paying $450,000. Ray Mickens, another guy. You sign these veterans, you sign 2 or 3 of them, that's $1 million. It doesn't seem like a lot, but you eat up some of it. I would assume.
And you don't know if they've reworked some other contracts.
Some bookkeeping measures, right, and things of that nature. So I'm a believer that they're going to basically either spend the money or push it to next year's cap when it's all said and done.
Josh also says, all right, I'm stupid. I looked it up, and Josh Miller's on IR. How did he get injured? I totally missed when that happened.
I don't know how he got injured. It was a shoulder issue that started to bother him the week before he went on IR. He wasn't punting the ball well for longer than that period, dating back to when I know he had a leg/hip injury.
He started the season very well.
Tremendous to start the year, and then he fell way, way down. And I think it started at some point not only to be an injury, I think his confidence got shaken.
Didn't
started
he get involved
himself.
In a tackle at one point in the season? Maybe with Cincinnati?
Cincinnati is when he was hurt before the game. He limped off the field with a trainer, came back on, struggled there, and basically struggled from then on out. But I know that was a hip injury, and then he went on IR with a shoulder injury that they said started to become an issue right before he went on IR. But again, I think a big part of it, too, was confidence. His confidence got shaken, and he didn't seem to come back.
Michael in Texas says, who writes the Patriots inside slant on USA Today?
No disrespect to the Orientals.
It is almost always a good, informative read.
I don't know. A couple good writers, I think, I've heard.
Who?
I can't say.
Why?
If they wanted that on there, they'd put the guy's name on there.
Really?
Yeah.
They don't say who wrote it?
No, it's provided by a company that provides them information and content.
I'd like to know who it is.
Okay, well, off the air, you can find out.
I know who it is. Why don't you just say it? Why? You can't say it? You're under contract?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm not under contract with anybody.
All right.
Let's just say I think that's a very good source of accurate and fair information.
All right. Jason.
You're so full of it.
Jason says, I know that you are usually rather humorous at times, as well as informative. But
well,
I felt,
we try. I'm not sure we are.
But I felt you as a group was rather dismissive about the points I was making on Tuesday. My point was that the Patriots team in 03, one that took away a Lombardi, struggled during the season, and played some very ugly games. That is a fact. And what I heard expressed was silence. And from Casale, Peanut Gallery, a comment about why don't we look at the 01 season. Frankly, I would have expected something more from someone who was supposed to be knowledgeable about football, but his comment there says more about what he is about than anything else.
I agree.
That football team won ugly a few times that year, winning a sloppy game against the Giants, a 9-3 no-touchdown game against the Browns, and a poorly played game against the first-year expansion Texans in Houston. This game went into overtime with a last-minute TD to Graham and a Vinatieri field goal to win it in overtime. My point is that the Super Bowl team struggled, had many issues during the season, and yet won against the Panthers. Why is this important? I think it is important because too many people seem to have short memories about the past Patriots teams and go away overboard with negativity about what is happening with the team now. More Chicken Little than intelligent, thoughtful comments with a perspective. This goes on. I understand that writers have agendas and are out to sell their words, and it's a lot easier following the way the wind blows, but I would have thought those who have followed the team for years might see things with a little less panic. In the past, teams won with questions, issues, and concerns, as they did, why can't this team of 06? So I think he goes on about that type of thing. Finally, he says, as far as Casale's take on Dylan, he is free to his opinions, of course, but his digging on Dylan at every possible instance was more childish than anything close to professional. I know he said that he was taking a fan's perspective, but that was quite untrue. For what he said Tuesday seemed more personal. What, did Corey take a cookie away from him? Please keep personal grudges away from discussions. Wow. No, I don't think it is anything personal.
No, I don't think so. I don't really know that Tom Casale's ever really chatted with Corey Dillon or had any much interaction with him.
No, I mean, Tom's been saying this for a while, and he just thinks that Maroney should be the guy. And, that Dillon has lost it on the field.
There are reasons to point to be disappointed in what Corey Dillon's done this year. First of all, I think it's a very fair question to say, why is he asking out of the game so often? Why is he always gesturing to the sideline after every run that he needs to get out of the game? And why he's lost the ability to have big plays? I know he had that 50-yard run, but that should have been a touchdown. He had to kind of whimper out of bounds. And he's fumbled, three straight weeks he had a fumble or is involved with a fumble. Two were given to him, I think. there's reasons to question what he's been doing on the football field. And last week, I think it reached a crescendo when Lawrence Maroney's out and he's still asking out of the game. This should be the time when you need to carry this offense, and he wasn't ready to do it.
Steve,
can we just look at 2003 for a minute?
Sure.
The season in question, the 14-2 season in question, where he sort of talks about the stumbles or whatever. That's a team that gave up, where's the points? They don't put the points. 238 points. Impressive number in a 16-game schedule.
Well, right now that's the Patriots are impressive in
right,
their points.
No question. That's a team that turned the ball over, let's see, 24 times all year. Patriots have turned it over 8 times in 2 weeks. 17 times or 18 times over the second half of the season.
Okay, well, they only have 4 games left.
Right.
Okay.
No. But the point is, if they had kept on the early season pace and turnovers, no one would be questioning it. The problem is 8 in 2 weeks.
Right.
That's on pace for a 64 season if you did it over a full season.
Right.
So it's a trend. People are wondering. It happens a week. Happens a week again. Is this an issue? I think those are two of the things that really you point to. This was a more dominant team, 2003. I don't know if you remember. That was a good football team. And, you know, they went on with that. They lost at Washington and never lost again. You know, they didn't lose down the stretch at all. And winning games 12-0, 12-0, 9-3, those were those games where whatever the score said, whatever they were within a point or two, blah, 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 score, one score game, the Patriots controlled those games. Those are the days of Paul Perillo a minute in when the Patriots kick a field goal saying, game. Because teams couldn't compete with the Patriots. I don't care about the scoreboard. They could not compete. Now we have the exact opposite where they're playing the Lions at home and they're coming back to win like they should because they're the better team with the better coach, the home field advantage, all that. So it's just a total different feel, right? A feel that has Fred Kirsch saying he ordered a new suit that'll be ready in 4 weeks, but he'll never get to wear it on a road trip because the season won't run that long. Right, Fred?
I am worried. I don't think right now the way they're playing, like I said the other day, maybe second round of the playoffs, but, you know, to sustain that through 4 weeks or 3 weeks of good competition in the playoffs, I don't think they can do it right now.
Right.
I'm not saying they can't.
See, I actually feel the other way because I don't necessarily believe that 2 week span is your whole season. That's what you're all about. And I think the rest of the league is questionable. I think,
and that's true.
You have a chance to get hot and win, just like the Steelers did last year. They're all flawed. The Patriots are flawed. Whatever team covers its flaws enough will get by and win.
Steve from Ontario says, I was fully prepared to continue the Dylan debate, but I'm far too busy admiring my new Lawrence Maroney jersey to talk about Dylan. In 2 consecutive weeks, Brett Favre threw 3 TDs against the Saints and Lions. If Dylan is back, after scoring 3 TDs against the Lions, Favre must be really on fire since he did it to the Lions and then next week against the Saints.
Yeah.
Well, that was another thing Tom was saying, is that you can't understand these people saying Dylan's back because he scored 3 touchdowns.
And rushed for 25 yards.
Right. As for those jerk-offs.
Whoa, hey now.
Screaming at
Were
Tom.
Are you allowed to say that on the show?
Sure. Those jerk-offs screaming at Tom the last 2 days. This is a symptom of the Walmartization of our society. That so-called customer is always right mentality is now so pervasive in our society that the exceedingly stupid among us now believe that anyone who produces content for us has to do it in a way that we feel happy and satisfied. I'm glad PFW doesn't operate this way because there is no way I would listen if all you did was talk about how great the Pats used to be. Tom, you're my hero. Former degenerate gambler, former personal trainer womanizing with his hot clients, and now working for the New England Patriots as the best judge of football and football talent on the show.
If Tom's your hero, you, sir, are a loser.
I knew Andy couldn't let that one go without
that. That has nothing to do with anything. If Tom's your hero?
Well, I mean, you know,
if you listen to Tom, he's got the worst life on the face of the planet.
Yeah, but look at, you know, he was a degenerate gambler. Womanizer.
Was a degenerate gambler?
I mean, you should have heard of his exploits. You weren't here yesterday.
Thank God.
I mean, this is like Warren Beatty-like, you know, what he used to do.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty
incredible.
I'd like
to see the women.
You got to listen to yesterday's show.
I'd like to see these quote-unquote hot
women. No, he said they were hot.
Yeah, so does everybody.
And he said, you know, you could pick them out right away if they were.
I think the upside of Bush is phenomenal.
I think he got some dirty Bush.
Whoa. All right. Dave in Stores says he wants to stop talking about Dylan. He says, I'm sick of hearing about him being an issue on the show. I agree that he stinks, but I don't even think he should be a topic right now. It's just tiring to hear people writing in about how great he is all the time, and then Tom defending his intense yet accurate opinions about Dylan's performance. In any case, what do you expect this week in Miami as far as the Patriots' game plan? Do you think they will try to run right at them or throw downfield? What do you think the loss of Ronnie Brown will mean to the Dolphins, especially regarding this upcoming game?
He hasn't had a great year, but I think he's a pretty good player, and I think anytime you take away a player of his caliber, it makes defending that team easier. And was that the same question for Maroney, too?
No.
The loss of Maroney? Oh.
No. He was talking about the loss of Ronnie Brown.
Right, but I thought he asked about whether the Patriots would be able to run without Maroney or something. What the Patriots will do, I don't think you want Tom Brady just throwing the ball over the field, because if their pass rush is half as good as what Bill Belichick makes it out to be, you're in trouble. You'll get him killed. Matt Light has always struggled with Jason Taylor, except earlier this year.
They might have to, though, because as of today, the temperature in Miami was 80 degrees, so Dylan's not going to play.
Yeah, so we'll let Maroney run it 40 times.
If he plays.
Yeah, I think there's a chance he plays. Well, decent chance. I think it's better than 50-50. I know questionable is 50-50. I'm saying it's better than 50-50 he plays.
I think he'll play, too. I
don't know. Mike Reese said he seemed like he was a little slow through drills.
Webradio@patriots.com is email address, but on the phone right now we've got Jamie from Houston. Jamie, how you doing?
What's going on, Fred? Hey, Andy.
What's up, Jamie? You're not going to have that potty mouth you had the other day, are you?
What, just because I said ass clown? I mean, what is this? Are you in kindergarten again, Andy? I can't hear those words. Mommy won't let me.
Earmuffs.
I don't even know what that means.
Yeah. So don't worry about it, Fred. Okay.
What do you got for us today, Jamie?
You all were talking about, the strategy for Miami.
Yep.
If we evaluate the first game, I mean, weren't they pretty much forced in a position to throw? Because didn't they not have the running game shut down? I'd love to see them run. I think that's great strategy. But, you know, do you think it will resort to Tom just being a better quarterback than, you know, the QB du jour or Harrington, whoever it's going
to
be?
I hate to be cliche and boring, but I would prefer to establish the run. I know this week especially,
yeah,
the big thing is spread it out. They looked so good spreading it out last week, and Brady likes the gun. I think if you do that too often, you devalue its success, first of all, and I think you put Brady in position to get killed.
But can you, can you run against this Miami defense?
I don't know.
I
mean, we have this young.
They're a pretty good defense.
They are a pretty good defense. We have this young, talented offensive line that's supposed to be gelling. We have this young running back who's supposed to be an up-and-coming workhorse. Run the ball.
I'd like them to try, that's for sure. You know,
I don't think you can run. I hope we can. I hope we can motivate the O-line and get it going. But, their front seven's pretty damn good, too.
There's no question that front seven's good, but I'm growing frustrated, I think, personally, with this offensive line here, in that they've used some draft picks now, they've extended the guys, thrown some pretty decent money at guys like Copen and Light. I want to see that become at least a moderate strength on this team, where you can count on trying to establish the run more often than they've been able to in recent past. But they need to prove it.
They've been inconsistent due to injuries, though, right? I mean, you've kind of had Neil bouncing in and out. You've had Yates in there. You've had O'Callaghan, I think, in and out. I mean, do you think that's hurt them and prevented them from being a better unit up front?
Maybe a little bit, but Neil's been out there the bulk of the year. Copen and the left side has been out there all year. And you now have Kazier back, who's supposedly your starter coming into the year. So you've had a couple weeks with that mix. Do something. Put it together. Let's see it. And this, I think, will be a good week to do it.
Yeah. I hope you're right, but I think it's going to be. I think it's going to go back to the air again. And I think we're better equipped. We're more of an offensive threat through the air than they are. It will probably end up being a battle of attrition through the air, but I hope you're right, because, again, if you rely on Brady back there, Zach Taylor and these other guys are going
to
kill him.
Plus, we know that this has sort of been Brady's house of horrors to some degree, where he's had some bad games, made some mistakes, and if you don't have to put him in that position, I'd rather not. I'd rather run the ball a little bit, but, this, I'm sure it will be to some degree a battle of attrition, be a struggle. It usually is between these two teams. The way the Dolphins are playing now, much better. They're on a little bit of a run here with Harrington. His confidence seems to build, so I'm sure it'll be a battle, but I'd like to win that battle or at least try to start it by running the football.
Well, I think points are going to be hard to come by, but more so for the Dolphins, especially with Ronnie Brown out. I mean, what kind of running game will they have at all?
Well, they haven't been great. He hasn't had a great year. I don't have his numbers in front of me, but he has not had a great year. But as I said,
but he ran
he's a pretty good player. He's
Remember
a pretty
that?
Good player. And
remember, he had some tough runs inside.
I certainly fear him more than any of the other guys they have. So
yeah.
All right. And as for Tom Casale and his
ass clownness.
And I didn't appreciate that. He threw the ass clown right back at me, and I don't think I ever did anything to him. But
probably not.
He's equal opportunity ass, and you know, love him or hate him for it. That's Tom, and he's part of the crew. He spices things up. And as far as his with the women, yeah, I think I've seen some of them in the AKC. You know, the Samoyed and little pug.
I agree.
Whoa, whoa.
Yeah.
I'm not buying that he says they're hot chicks. No chance.
Yeah, no way. No way. Look at Tom. Yeah, look at Tom. If he looks in the mirror and sees hotness there and it's a reflection, Tom ain't pulling any top ass. I'm telling you right now.
I'll tell you. He said it's the lure of the personal trainer.
Yeah,
but who goes to personal trainers? Usually fat, overweight, moms.
I'm saying it's like, have you guys seen the movie Deuce Bigelow and some of the ladies Deuce Bigelow shacked up with in that movie? That's what I'm saying Tom was all about.
There you go.
One-legged women, 300-pound women, one-eyed women with epilepsy.
And prosthetic limbs.
Yep, that's what I'm saying Tom was pulling.
Yeah, Tom, talk is cheap. Show us some pictures, pal.
All right, Jamie.
Right, later on.
Thanks,
bye.
Jamie. Okay, that's Jamie from Houston. Webradio@patriots.com is the email.
The one day I'm not here.
It's webradio@patriots.com. Jason Dvorkin was here. I thought he was going to pass out.
Why? What happened?
Well, all the talk. He was getting very nervous.
Yeah, those marketing guys, they get nervous easy, huh?
Yeah.
Devaluing the product,
so,
offending
so,
a sponsor.
So there's a big marketing crew going out. Are you going to Miami, Gary? No?
Really?
No seats available.
No seats available, huh?
You can. We should have flown commercial.
Well, you don't want to do that.
I don't want to do what I'm going to do.
Yeah, but not
worst seat on the plane, Andy Hart.
Nothing's worse than lugging your bags through that terminal and all that.
Middle seat, middle
row. You forget how bad that is.
Can I be truly honest with you? When I bitched about my seat being the worst in the plane, I actually liked it.
Really?
Because I like not having anybody behind me.
That's nice.
And I liked it, except I couldn't see the movie.
Oh. I never watch it anyway.
Sometimes I do. This is a decently long flight, so.
Good. Get some work done. Let's see. Dwayne says, I'm very discouraged about the Pats team at this point, and I don't see how they will beat Miami in Miami. From what I've seen, the Pats have reduced themselves to a team that doesn't take advantage of other teams' mistakes, but needs the opposing team to make mistakes to have a chance to win. If Miami just plays a turnover-free game, they are sure to win. Because we can count on these two things. One, Brady won't have a good game, never does in Miami, with the exception of one overtime game. And two, the Pats will turn it over twice. This simplifies Miami's game plan to just protecting the ball while taking advantage of an injury-ravaged secondary, which Wes Welker had no problem doing last time. Honestly, it wouldn't even surprise me much if Brady had his annual 1-4 game and got blown out in Miami.
I don't know if it's annual, but that's certainly a chance. It's not been.
He's
his
already had
place
his 1-4 game.
Right. It's certainly not been his favorite place to play. But the little flaw in your thing is the Dolphins have to score. They can't just not turn the ball over. At some point, they need to put some numbers on the scoreboard to win.
Okay. All right, Gary. It's 12:53. That means we have to take a break. We'll be right back.
Hey, sweetie. When I picked up the dry cleaning today, I put 43 cents into our savings.
I'll alert the media.
Introducing Keep the Change from Bank of America.
And at lunch, I put away 61 cents.
Really?
That much? Each time you buy something with your Bank of America Visa check card, we round up the amount to the next dollar and transfer your change from your checking to your savings account.
I checked online, and so far we've saved $2.25.
Wow. A whole $2.25.
Try $225.
Oh. Plus, we'll match 100% of your Keep the Change savings for the first 3 months and continue matching 5% up to $250 a year.
I'm back from the store. Just saved 8 cents.
I'll alert the media.
Open a checking account and keep the change. Only at Bank of America. Higher standards. Match paid annually after anniversary of enrollment. Savings accounts include regular savings with annual percentage yield of 0.5%. Member FDIC. Patent pending.
Well, it's that time of year again when Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty new snack wrap from McDonald's. It's a premium chicken select with lettuce, cheddar jack cheese, and ranch sauce, all wrapped in a warm flour tortilla. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select, and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it. Let's go, let's jump right in.
Come on, baby, let's go. It's here at your local Ford store. Comprehensive coverage on every vehicle we sell. That's right. Ford stands behind every 2006 model with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. Every Mustang, every 500, every Freestyle, every Explorer, even every F-Series truck. Every new 2006 Ford vehicle comes with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. That's security. Plus, right now you can get 0% financing on select Fords, 560 coverage, 0% financing. At Ford, we're with you every step of the way. See your local Ford store or call 1-877-4-FORD-10. Ford, bold moves. Come on, baby.
Okay, back here getting into the Christmas spirit. Gary has his Christmas tunes all lined up. You have folder on iTunes, just Christmas songs. Yeah,
I do too on my iPods. Hundreds and hundreds of songs on it.
Really?
Yeah.
You like the Christmas songs?
Love them.
Now, Paul likes Christmas, but he doesn't like the songs, doesn't like trees.
Doesn't like Christmas clothes, doesn't like pretty much anything.
He likes shopping, though.
Apparently.
He does like which is the worst part of Christmas.
Right.
So I did a lot of internet shopping this year.
I've done a lot of no shopping.
Really? What are you getting your wife for Christmas?
I have no idea.
Paul's
going to make fun of you, though, for walking in when we're talking about that.
Did I hear Jamie ripping
you? Not at all. I love
Christmas. Yeah, Jamie was ripping you.
All right. Now, see, I would tell Jamie to call back tomorrow when I'm here, but that means I would have to talk to him. And then that's 7 minutes of my life that I'll never get back.
Is anyone more sensitive than Tom?
He wasn't.
Oh, yeah, Paul.
He wasn't really ripping you.
No, well, Jamie, I'll tell you why. You call back tomorrow, and it'll be like the Larry Holmes-Marvis Frazier fight. I'll be looking over at Fred to stop it.
He didn't understand why you were getting on him because he doesn't even know you.
Huh? How did I get on Jamie?
I don't even know you, mister.
Yeah. I don't know.
People get on me all the time. I don't know them.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, how are you doing, guys?
Apparently you didn't get the memo.
You didn't get the message about bringing food?
Fred said he'd buy if someone flew.
No one got any
memo. That message.
Kyle!
I was actually doing some work.
If you hear a thump during the show, it's my forehead hitting the microphone as I pass out from hunger.
I think that's the line Fred used, Paul.
What?
I said, Paul's upstairs.
The other guy's name is escaping me.
Paul's upstairs working, geez. And he goes, Paul's working?
That's what I was doing.
Oh, and he wanted to
ask. Getting fitted for a suit.
I wasn't busy like Fred yesterday.
You guys shouldn't scoff Paul. You're an absolute perfect candidate for that.
With all the plenty of suits, Fred, and I don't need any more.
I'm talking about a fitted suit.
Now, Fred, I need a suit, but do I get to see what it looks like first?
Well, you know what? They give you all the – you choose from the fabrics, you know, and then they have the
– What if I don't like it?
Different types.
You know, I've bought things from guys off the street before, Fred. If you don't like it, you can't return it.
You bought
stuff with it.
Well, why wouldn't you – I mean, you choose the design that you want first. I mean, it's not like
– Gary, we actually need this little banter because Paul's doing the numbers, right?
It's not like you end up with a double-breasted and you didn't want a double-breast. You know exactly what you're going to get before you get it.
Yeah, I like to see
the key is the measurements, especially from a guy like you. You know, you're not a normal-shaped guy.
Wait,
you don't need
candidate.
The shape word in there.
Tell me Fred's not a candidate for one of those pyramid schemes somewhere. But you need a fitted
suit. Now, Fred, let me ask you something. Now, what about someone like Andy?
Who
gets fitted for a suit, but it'll be 20 pounds lighter in a month.
That's a problem. It can only take it in so much.
I said to him in the locker.
So you're not planning on losing those 30 pounds you said were melting off?
No, if I do, I'll get another one.
Well, now it's if.
My money says you won't need a new suit.
Screw you.
I'm rooting for you, Fred.
You know, all Andy has to do is stop going to the gym and he starts losing weight, which tells you a little bit about what that weight was to begin with.
Called muscle.
Yeah.
The next time you have some, will be the first.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know, Fred. I don't know too many people that lose 30 pounds of muscle in a month.
Exactly.
It's people that work hard when they do go to the gym so that their body easily loses some of the muscle.
A little bit inflated.
Yeah. Let me see. So when an NFL football player has surgery, all of a sudden he loses 60 pounds of muscle?
Right, right.
Doesn't make any sense.
Doesn't make any sense.
They do.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they do.
Okay, web radio. Well, actually, forget about the email address because it's time to go around the NFL as we do every Thursday from 1 to 2. And before we do that, Paul, why don't you fill us in on what happened last week and what the season standings are.
Okay, let's see here. Andy takes the lead 10-6 last week. It was 9-7. Fred was 8-8. Tom was 7-9. With the spread, 3 7-9s, and Andy at 6-10.
Damn.
So it was a tough week for the spread. The overall standings, Tom remains on top in both categories, 118-74 overall.
I'll blow it.
69-61-2 with the spread. Let's see. Andy is next, 117-75, and then Fred, you and I are tied at 116-76. I am just miserable. I'm in last place.
I don't know. I wasn't listening.
One game
Gary.
Back. One game back.
I got nothing.
I just know that Paul is close to the fireable offense of finishing behind Fred Kirsch.
What are the numbers again, Paul? I'm sorry, I didn't have a battery.
You are one game ahead of Andy. 118-74, 117, and we're two games behind. 116-76.
Everyone's right there.
Yeah, it's all in the mix.
With the spread, I am far. No, oh, Andy, I thought I was last. Andy, you weren't last at 59-67.
I was going to say, unless something changed.
You and I are wrong because I just don't match up. I have you at 59-67 and me at 61-69, so it doesn't make any sense.
Somebody who can count.
I would highly welcome that because it's become.
Maybe we should bring Maura O'Brien down. She always brags about that. She's like a.
She'll put together some sort of Excel sheet.
Or if you have Kyle do it, he was a.
As far as I know, the overall records are accurate, and that would have Tom at top with Andy behind and Fred and I two games.
It's a two game spread.
Right,
two game spread. So we're.
It's like the NFL. It's a crapshoot right now. Anybody can win. I agree.
All right, well, this is a big week. Week 14 of the NFL season.
Bum, 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 bum.
Of course, tonight we have the third Thursday night game at NFL Network. I thought that last week's broadcast was better than the first week's.
I thought it's.
Although
I
can't get over Gumbel's high-pitched voice, but I thought production-wise it was a lot better.
They suck.
If there was anything worth a darn on TV tonight, I'd watch it over this game.
I'm sure there's a Christmas special on.
You don't want to watch the Browns and the Steelers go at it?
ABC
the
Family.
The Steelers are playing with about 8 starters.
Watching Ugly Betty?
No, I'm not watching Ugly Betty. I watch The Office, but it's not on this week.
Okay. That's only a half hour, though.
I'll be working.
I'd go, Paul's working? I'd go ABC Family and find out what's on the Christmas. Plus, then you check the 260s and... Or wherever it is up there, a lot of Christmas movies in that area, too.
Oh, last night I recorded The Chronicles of Narnia, so I can watch that tonight.
Little Drummer Boy, Andy.
Little Drummer Boy's on tonight? I don't know really what one that one is.
That's not that
great.
The
puppets.
I'll tell you one thing what sucked. Pinocchio's Christmas. Brutal. Brutal.
Oh, and The Polar Express.
Overrated.
The whole movie?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a big
It's
movie.
Okay, but it's overrated.
I haven't seen it.
It's not
it's
this
right.
groundbreaking.
It's coming here to Gillette Stadium.
I understand that.
I still don't understand what it is, but it's kind of...
I don't really either, but it's a big tent in the parking lot, I can tell you that much.
All right. All right, let's get to the games. Tonight's game, the Browns at the Steelers, and the Steelers are 7.5-point favorites in this game.
I'll take the Steelers to win and cover, simply because they're at home.
Now, why do you think the Steelers are that big a favorite? I mean, Cleveland plays
them
tough.
Well, they're playing with that Derek Anderson as their quarterback, right?
Oh, Charlie Fry's hurt?
I thought he was out.
Okay.
So I think that's a big factor there, and they should be the better team, and they're at home.
All right.
So, yeah. I'll go with them.
You know, maybe I'm wrong. I think he came into the game last week, and they just didn't know him, but Derek Anderson was a horrendous college football player. I mean, you talk about a guy who threw interceptions. This guy was an interception machine. I can't believe he's starting an NFL game. I'd like to take the points here, but because he's involved, I just can't. I'll take the Steelers both ways.
Yeah, that's going to be the sole reason that I take the Steelers both ways is the quarterback situation. I think with Fry, they might be able to stay more competitive. Did you happen to see that run that Derek Anderson had in overtime? It was, I've never seen a 33-yard run take longer than that run in the NFL. That was amazing how he wasn't knocked out of bounds at all during that run. But he didn't. He did not. He made all the plays last week. I don't think he'll do it 2 weeks in a row.
Backup quarterback is like being a lefty pitcher in the Major League Baseball. If you can do it somewhat well, you've got a job forever.
Yeah, I don't know if Anderson can do it somewhat well yet.
But he's got a job
out there, and he goes, "Is that true?"
No, he has a job because they don't have any other quarterbacks on the team. Not all backup quarterbacks are good, Fred.
No, that's my point.
Not all good starting. I mean, not that's all starting point. Quarterbacks are good.
Well, this guy's never played. He's played a little bit in the NFL.
That's my point.
How do you know
don't have to be that good a quarterback to have a job in the NFL.
But I don't know why Tom has to shoot down all your little theories. I don't know why he doesn't do that.
He doesn't know much about baseball.
You don't, Tom? You don't know much about baseball?
What don't I know about baseball?
I'm going with you know more than Fred.
I don't know why he has to take those shots at you either.
All right. Okay, so I'll take the Steelers both ways as well. Sunday at 1.
Just giggling to himself over there.
I like it when I just reduce Tom to just shaking his head. All right. The Falcons at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And Atlanta is a 3-point favorite on the road.
I'll take the Falcons. Bucks suck. The Bruce Gradkowski rolling into Tom Brady 2, Super Bowl, all that. It was a nice tale for Tom and I to try to sell to our listeners, but I'm not buying any more myself. So Michael Vick, whatever. He'll crap it out, but he'll still win by more than 3 points.
Okay, Tom?
Yeah, I guess I'm going to go with the Falcons. Tampa Bay's terrible.
Yep.
Ugh, I hate this game, but I'll take the Falcons. I don't know. Maybe they did something last week that, you know, down 14-0 on the road, they rallied to win. I don't know. Maybe they got a little something going, but I think they stink, too. I just think Tampa stinks worse.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say Jim Mora Sr. gave up his radio job, so he won't create any controversy this week.
Well, I'm going to go with Tampa Bay to pull the upset in this game. They're both dogs, and I think Atlanta's ripe to actually have a letdown after a big win. A much-needed win last week.
After a big win. Sounded like candy on 2.5 minutes.
So I'm going to go with Tampa Bay. Just it's a means-nothing upset. All right, Sunday at 1, Baltimore Ravens at the Kansas City Chiefs. Kansas City is 3-point favorites over the Ravens.
Big game.
This is a big game.
Interesting.
First one of those of the day, Tom.
Interesting.
When he just breathes heavily into the microphone.
I will go with the Baltimore Ravens on the road to win outright. Better football team. I think they will stifle the Kansas City Chiefs offense. I don't like picking against the Chiefs at Arrowhead, but I think the Ravens are a good enough team. Probably be a bit of an ugly game early. And then their will and sort of physical play will take it over in the second half and get them the win.
Okay.
Yeah, this is a tough one.
It's a tough game.
Because remember weeks back when they were underdogs at home to the Chargers, I told you there's some crazy stat when they're underdogs at home. They never lose the Chiefs. I just think that the Ravens are in a good spot here coming off a loss. I'm going to pull a Fred Kirsch here. I'm going to take the Ravens to win and the Chiefs to lose. That way I don't feel bad either way.
Right. What's the spread?
Three.
Three.
Kansas City, right?
Kansas City is favored by three.
Oh, Kansas City's favorite.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Then I'll just take the Ravens.
Okay.
I thought they were underdogs.
I'm going to take the Ravens as well. I think 10 days off might help them a little bit too. Because they played that Thursday night game and had a little extra rest. Kansas City, really, really disappointing loss on the road last week to Cleveland. I think they might carry that over, and Baltimore will Baltimore needs this game. They don't want to be losing two in a row at this time of year.
Sure. I mean, you want, if you're a Patriots fan, you want the Chiefs to win, obviously. But I got to go with the Ravens in this game to win, although Ty Law has an interception in this game, and he will end up being a Raven next year.
A Raven?
Yes.
Why do you say that?
He's gonna switch teams again.
I know that, but why the Ravens?
They like those.
There's a lot of teams in the league.
They like those kind of players.
What do those kind of players mean?
You know, guys that are cocky defensive players.
Good ones? Good defensive players?
You know. So they'll pick him up. All right.
It says he has absolutely nothing to offer about this game, but Ty Law will be a Raven next year.
I have nothing to offer on that either, but it says here that Ty Law is wearing a Patriots uniform next year.
Oh, okay. Any inside?
I prefaced the whole thing by saying I have nothing to add.
I think this would be the...
Hi, guys. Alan Greenberg here.
I don't really have anything to say.
I think this would be the last year that they would have taken him. I think now they're not interested anymore in Ty Law.
Well, they're going to need corner.
Yeah, but...
That's why I think they're going to take
one that can still walk. So
and pick off passes like he's been doing.
All right. Sunday at 1, the Colts at the Jacksonville Jaguars. And Indianapolis is only a 1.5-point favorite in Jacksonville.
Over the Jags in Jacksonville. I say the Colts
win
and win decisively in Jacksonville. I know they're better at home. They're the frauds. The Dave Garrard is great era comes to a little bit of a close here, and Colts put up some points.
Well, other than the time that Fred Taylor ran over Mike Doss there.
One of the greatest plays I've ever seen when you look back at a guy after you run through him. Tremendous.
Yeah. Other than that game, virtually every one of these games has gone the same in Jacksonville. The Colts get up, Jacksonville comes back, but they just don't have enough to win. I think it's the same thing here. The Colts bounce back and get a win in Jacksonville.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Colts haven't really played that well, but I just don't have any faith in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
You know, maybe this is the game
not against better teams.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Maybe this is the game that opens my eyes. I was mildly surprised that they won in Miami last week, but this would be a lot more surprising to me if they were able to, even at home where they generally play better, I think the Colts will find a way to win.
Maybe they run the ball for 200 yards with the...
And that could be, and you
Jones,
mentioned...
Drew, Taylor...
Yeah, they did last time they played, though.
And you
lost.
Mentioned Garrard, too, Andy, and I think that might be an aspect of the running game that they didn't have, you know, in all the past meetings with Leftwich that could give the Colts even more problems.
But not enough.
No, I agree. I think the Colts will find a way.
Yeah, I got to go with the Colts in this game. Got to go with the Colts. All right, this is a game that Andy circled on his schedule when it came out in April. The Vikings
at Brockton.
The Vikings at the Detroit Lions. 1 o'clock
Two teams
game.
I used to be on.
Two teams that Andy is very high on. I like what they're doing there.
Detroit is actually a 2.5-point favorite at home.
Oh, it's gone way down.
Against the Vikings.
Against the Vikings at home, I will take the Detroit Lions to win at home.
Last week showed that they could win games, maybe.
Well, they lost, but no, both teams aren't very good. I think the Vikings stink. I look for the Lions to just do enough at home, and they're at home. And plus, Johnson not playing. Who knows who's playing quarterback maybe for them. I'm a little worried if it's my boy because I think he's electric and he can change a game, Tavares Jackson. But I think the Lions do enough.
He's electric.
He has never seen him play.
I've seen his highlight tapes.
Oh, man.
I'm going to go with the Lions, too. I'm with Roy Williams. They're a pretty good 2-10 team.
Did he even say pretty? I think he might have just said we're a good 2-10 team.
But the Lions do one thing kind of well, and it's throw the football, and the Vikings do one thing really bad, and it's defend the pass. So I think the mismatch is there, and I'll take the Lions at home.
Okay. Yeah, I got to go with the Vikings in this game.
Just for the sanctity of the contest, Paul takes Minnesota both ways.
Oh, that's right. Paul's playing. From your season score, I didn't know you were playing this year.
Yeah,
you
know,
isn't he tied with you?
The fact that I'm tied with you, I agree. I deserve that rocket shot.
Okay, so... I'll go with Minnesota in this game.
This is probably the latest in the year Fred's actually been in the contest, right?
This is the latest in the year that this is just a horrible game. I don't care. That That's two really, really bad football teams playing.
All right, Giants at the Panthers, Sunday at 1. And
they should be off the board.
Let's see. What do they have here? Carolina, it is off the board.
Carolina is off the board.
So that means I have to set the spread in this game.
Why is this off the board?
Now, Delhomme may not play.
He's probably not going to play.
You know,
so remember that when you make the
right,
spread.
Is that 85-year-old still?
Yeah, I was going to say, the good thing is that Wanky's in his third year, but he's 42 years old.
John Strock, backup quarterback.
I'm going to make the Panthers a two-point favorite in this game. Two-point favorite.
Boy. I'll take the Panthers to win because I think they run the ball. D'Angelo Williams, huge day, regardless of quarterback, and they win at home.
All right.
Well, I can tell you this. Whoever loses this game, I'm going against for the rest of the year. That's for darn sure, because these two teams, you talk about a headache trying to pick games. I'm going to go with the Panthers, I guess, at home. I just think Delhomme has morphed into an average quarterback, so whoever comes in can just throw the ball up to Steve Smith like he does. And I think the Giants had their chance last week. That was it.
The last thing that you said, Tom, is the reason I'm going to pick Carolina. I think the Giants really rallied last week. They really stepped up, and they put a lot of eggs in that Cowboys basket. And when they lost the game anyway,
their team's going to rally. Their team's going to step up.
I have a feeling they're going to show Tom Coughlin just how much they...
Maybe he can go back to B.C.
They care about him.
That's true.
I mean, I'm afraid of that exact same thing, but I'm still going to pick the Giants because I think without Delhomme, I think the Giants can do enough on offense to win this game.
Now, what's the deal with Delhomme?
He hurt his hand in the Eagles game, and I think he's probably going to miss the game from what they're saying. So I guess that would be Wanky unless they have somebody I don't know of.
But the fact that it's off the board, does that mean they just don't know?
They don't know.
They don't know.
Right. So it's not definite that he's not playing.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I'm taking a chance here. I'm still going to take the Giants to win this game. But Coughlin,
it was probably going to be Delhomme's last game anyway, by the way that Fox sounded after the Monday night game. He said, you know, he's the quarterback next week, and that's it.
Yeah.
We're not going
That's what I think is going to happen. I think someone else is going to come in and play pretty well, then Delhomme will probably lose his job.
Wow.
Chris Wanky stunk last time I saw him play.
Big game from D'Angelo Williams. Could have been here.
All right. Sunday at 1, the Raiders at the Bengals. Let's see. Cincinnati should be a favorite. Yes, they are by quite a bit. 11 points in Cincinnati.
I'm going to take the Bengals to win in Cincinnati, but I'm going to take the points with the Raiders.
Because of the Rob Ryan defense?
Because the Rob Ryan defense is just flat out getting it done, and I say they get it done again, play some physical football, and keep it close enough to cover.
Well, the Rob Ryan defense is getting it done, and they usually cover a big number like this, but I'll tell you, the Bengals are getting it done. Their offense is rolling, and the defense, see, I'm going to want to watch this game closely. Because if they can shut down the Raiders, even though they don't have a good offense, because teams like this used to score on the Bengals, that would be three good defensive games in a row. Then you got to start worrying about this team, I think. So I'm going to go with the Bengals, even though I don't like to give up these kind of points, because I think they're starting to hit that roll.
As I said earlier, the Bengals win went from a good one to a bad one. It might be a good one again.
And you know what? If you hold the team to like 80 yards of total offense and still lose by a touchdown, I'm not picking you. That's what the Raiders did last week. So
did you see some of that stuff in that game? They had five scoring drives they allowed, and only one of them they got a first down on. Hmm. One out of five scoring drives, Houston was able to get one first down before scoring.
So they were big plays?
No.
Oh. They only had like 100 yards of total offense.
They had one scoring drive that was four plays for minus 3 yards field goal.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
In other words, the Raiders kept turning it over close to their goal line. And Houston wasn't even getting touchdowns out of them. They were getting held.
There was a game when we were in New York against the Jets, I think, this year, and we were following the Raiders game. And they were doing the same thing. They got into the red
Baltimore
zone.
The Baltimore game.
Yeah, they got into the red zone like four or five times, and they couldn't score.
That was the game I bet you that the Raiders would score 10 points
against
Baltimore.
That's why. You still haven't paid me.
Yes, right. I did.
Oh, you did? Well, no, you owe me a sandwich.
I owe you a sandwich. And Andy owes me one, and I owe
Tom
Paul
owes
one.
Me a banquet.
Fred, so if you had latched on early in the year and said the Raiders, huh, they got a pretty good defense, you know.
Yeah,
you would have looked like a freaking
right.
genius.
You would have been right.
You picked the wrong bad team.
You picked the wrong bad team to say they had a good unit.
hey, easy.
Who'd you pick in this game?
Oh, I didn't yet. Oh, okay. But I am picking the Bengals both ways.
Yeah. Little known.
I did as well.
Little notable number. I don't have my little sheets this week, but I can provide one from memory for this game. The San Diego Chargers have scored an NFL best 146 points in the fourth quarter. The Oakland Raiders have scored 143 points this season.
Total.
Wow. You had a little quiz that you wanted to throw out there. You forgot to do it.
Oh, I did. He knows the answer. I think he might, too. Four teams in the National Football League ranked in the top 10 in both total offense and total defense. They are, Fred.
I'd say San Diego's one.
Good call.
Probably Dallas is two.
Good call. I think, in the exact same order Tom Casale went in here. Or maybe
I knew Dallas,
San Diego,
first.
Which sort of poo-poos our whole existence as PFW writers.
Top 10 in I said San Diego, Dallas, Patriots.
Yes,
I got that one last.
Yeah.
Okay,
and now there's
this is the one
sort of the interesting one.
Right.
He won't get this.
Top 10 both. I'd say Seattle.
I'd say.
Okay, who is it?
Pittsburgh.
One guess, Pittsburgh.
Really?
Defending Super Bowl
champs.
I actually
got that before I got the Patriots. Can you imagine that?
Mr. Patriot knowledge over here.
That's interesting. Pittsburgh.
Because I was going through my head, and I was thinking that they've been behind in so many games that they probably racked up a bunch of meaningless offensive stats.
Right.
That's probably why they're in
there. So you got three Super Bowl contenders and one defending Super Bowl champ that's limped through the season.
But obviously, their defense has played pretty well, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the one thing I wasn't sure of, if their defense was in there, because I know they seem to have some trouble this
year. Well, part of their biggest issue was turning the ball over, right.
All right. Again, we were talking about that earlier. You know, we know that the Patriots have had trouble turning the ball over of late, but their opponents have kept pace, if not worse.
18-17.
Right. So the question is this a trend in the NFL? How do turnovers overall compare
to your story.
This year to other years in the NFL?
Well, I could do that. Just total turnovers.
Total turnovers.
For one.
I'd like to know.
I could probably do that, but
I just think it's interesting.
It's hard to. I mean,
why? Just add them up.
The Patriots are pretty much on par for every year that Belichick's been here. They're on par for 30 with turnovers, which would be the most. But as far as turnovers go, it's been 28, 20, 28, 27.
Right, right. If this trend continues over the last four games, they would obviously.
Surpass
exceed
it, right?
That,
yeah.
But
yeah, it's just the quirk in what the Patriots have done is they've gone in the first six games, they basically didn't turn it over and didn't take it away, to the last six games
right.
where they have constantly turned it over and constantly taken it away.
Right. Okay, Sunday at 1, Eagles at the Redskins. Let's see. Philadelphia is a 1.5-point favorite on the road in Washington.
Stop doing that.
I'll take the Eagles to win. Not a good game. Backup quarterbacks, but I'll take the veteran backup quarterback who's had some success in the league.
Yeah, I have to take the Eagles because, Paul, as I told you, I don't ever remember who I pick in the paper, yet B-Lo had to come up and tell me the three games we had different in the paper this week.
Should call him B-Loser.
So now I know that I need the Eagles to win, so I'll take the Eagles.
Yeah, I'm going to take Washington. Don't really know why. I think Jeff Garcia has played.
Fred
Kirsch. He's played reasonably well, but I don't think he'll continue that. And I think Liddell Betts will have a big game against a very bad run defense for Philadelphia.
I'm going to go with the Eagles in this game. I like Jeff Garcia. I always thought he was a pretty decent quarterback.
I think he's a stiff.
That's what Fred likes about.
I just didn't feel real
what I'm
crisp
doing,
on my decision making. I didn't feel like my feet were. Working for me.
And just in
it
case
just
someone out there didn't know what he was talking about, he goes, "You see what I was doing there?"
Hey, did you guys hear that Brady's suing Yahoo?
For what?
For using his likeness for fantasy football.
Really? Good for him.
And the top-notch guy.
I think he should.
Well, but why is he suing just them? Because I've seen a million of those gambling sites that use all the
one
players.
One has Dylan.
Yeah.
I don't think he knows. Maybe I should probably tell him. You know what I'll do is I'll search for one that's Colvin. He'll have his lawyer on the horn in about 2 seconds.
Yeah.
No, I don't know what it's all about. I just saw it quickly, but I heard that he's suing Yahoo for you. Now, how's that work, Fred? You can't use. You
he's
have
suing
to get
everybody
the,
these days.
You have to get their permission to
yeah,
use.
Yeah, you can't
it,
use anyone's.
Or
likeness.
Is it the NFL? Is it
no?
The
if you're using, if it's less than six players, You have to have, you can do a deal just with the player. However, you can't use any of the marks or logos of the NFL.
Right.
So you can do anything you want with a player if you have an agreement with the player.
Oh, so the gambling one with Corey Dillon is, then he has a deal with him because it's Corey Dillon in a Bengals uniform, but it doesn't show the marks.
I bet you he doesn't.
Oh, it doesn't
just
show the marks?
I bet you they just assume he won't find it. Now, I think they do that because they say, well, the league will probably see it, and they'll come after us, and they'll squash us like
I'm
a bug.
I'm going to tell them.
Now, if you're doing six or more players, you have to go with NFL properties in the Players Association. So,
but didn't he sue Cadillac earlier in the year for going too long and using his likeness for something beyond the limit
yes,
of the...
Yes, he did. Yeah. And I think he should. Just like the Patriots are very protective of their marks, I think he should be of his likeness. Why should someone leverage him to make money without his consent?
Why are you yelling at me?
I'm just saying. I don't think it's, you know, being greedy or, you know, I think it's...
I just think it's... Why would Yahoo do it? What, are they stupid? You know, they're obviously a big company, right? So you think that they would know these rules if they're doing fantasy football, so why would they even bother doing it?
You just
are they
never
stupid?
Know.
Have you ever read their little expert advice stuff? They are stupid.
All right, the final Sunday at one game is the Tennessee Titans
these games
at the Houston Texans.
I think this is a pretty good slate this week. I mean, this particular game is not one of them, but I think there's three or four games that have major playoff implications.
Okay,
Kansas City, Baltimore.
What do you think's favorite in this game?
Carolina, the Giants.
Houston's favorite.
The Jets game. Not Cincinnati's playing Oakland, but so that doesn't count. But
who's favored? What's the spread? I wasn't listening.
The Houston
Texans.
See,
I'm less interested in the NFC.
The Houston Texans are favored by.
I just think those teams are dogs.
And I can buy that. That's a legitimate.
Houston's favored by a point and a half.
Houston is favored by a point
Screw
and a half
you,
at home.
At home.
Well, you know what? This is a pick'em game to me between two. Teams.
Yeah,
so
but
you know
one
what
of those
means.
Ant teams beat the Colts last week.
It's okay. So I'm going with.
And you think one of those Ant teams can beat the Patriots?
Right,
I
that's
do.
That's true. You think the Houston
I think
Texans
both of
are the,
them can.
You think the Houston Texans are the second coming of the Buffalo Bills? So
yeah, we got to actually we have to scout this game out because according to Fred Kurtz, these are the Patriots' next two losses.
These are the toughest two games that they have left. We better watch this game.
You better.
I don't care, and I don't know, so I'm going with insanity to get it done again.
Well, I kind of feel that the Titans are going to have a letdown, but as Beloit pointed out, I need the Titans to win. It's one of our three games that we disagree on.
He really is a loser.
So I'll take Tennessee.
Is this for the running of the winner of what?
Of the newspaper.
Oh,
he comes
boy.
Over and tells
what
me
what does
the
he get
games,
if he wins that?
Slap in the
you
face.
You know what he's going to get? He's going to get mad when I don't publish the results again when the season's over, just like he did last year.
You should do it in like 7-point font.
Hide
know,
it
like,
somewhere yeah. going up the
Well, we were
going
to do football things you don't care about. Brian Lowe won the...
Maybe that's what I'll do. Maybe that's what I'll do.
But I kind of think Houston might win this game, but I'm going to go with Tennessee.
All right.
Yeah, I'll take Tennessee as well. I don't know where you get your affinity for Houston. Like Tennessee, I could understand if you said that's going to be a tougher game than people think.
The bookies are favoring them by a point and a half.
Well, they're two bad teams. And
okay.
They took the home team by half of what you normally get at home.
If they were that bad, Tennessee would be favored. Okay? So pick
They're
them.
Both bad.
Well, I mean, that one of those bad teams beat the Colts last week.
And you think the Colts stink, so what's the difference? You've been saying all year
Excuse
long about
me?
How you think the Colts
oh,
aren't
I do
very good.
Not. Oh, please. I never said that. I've never said
suck.
The Colts aren't very good.
The
please.
Colts suck.
You don't point out every week how the Colts are lucky to win?
No.
Okay.
Not me.
All right, I'm wrong.
You have me confused with somebody else.
I just said I'm wrong. I could swear I remember you
now
saying
that argument. I won't buy because you can't confuse Fred with
anybody. I think back in the early of this
I thought
year,
I remember that Buffalo game when he told me about Ryan Lindell missing a field goal. How the Bills should have won the game and the Colts were lucky
of course,
again.
In Fred's world,
maybe I was wrong.
It was in the
one
final
game,
seconds.
One game. But I think in
that, again, Colts got lucky again. I think was the quote, but
well,
that's okay.
You're wrong. But anyway,
that's
back
okay.
in the early of the year, I think it was consensus among this group that the Colts were a better team than the Patriots, and they were the best team in the AFC.
Because they came in here and beat them.
But I maintain that
right.
that opinion.
I didn't disagree at the time. Did I disagree? No, I don't think I did.
I don't know.
I don't think you did.
No, of course
not
I did.
Not on that one.
Because all right.
They beat them head to head.
I was going to say not after the game.
Yeah, because they beat them head to head.
Before the game, you might have had a different tune.
Well, okay. I guess that suits your little, you know, world.
Right, picking?
I just made a comment that I've heard you say several times that the Colts aren't
that
good.
He hasn't gotten golden to pick in Houston by now.
Not
he's never going to pick them.
Not this year.
So you're taking Houston?
No, I'm taking the Titans.
I knew it. What a fraud.
What?
I just said, if you couldn't get goaded into taking Houston now after all the crap you just got, then you're never going to take
I'm not taking Houston over the Titans. I think the Titans are okay, too. They're playing pretty well now.
All right.
So the Titans are going to win the Super Bowl. I'll tell you what, you
got three or four wins in this league. Watch out, because Fred Kirsch says you're
right.
Coming.
But if
you're the Ravens, you stink.
Right.
Well, the Ravens are good. The Colts stink.
Well, I think that if the Titans had played the way they're playing right now throughout the season, they'd be in the playoffs. You know, but they late starters, late bloomers.
Well, we all know the change.
Right.
Vin Sanity.
Well, whatever it is.
And I picked them to be in the playoffs, and so you're saying that I was right. It was just that they went to Vin Sanity.
Maybe.
Okay. I'll buy that.
You know, okay. All right.
Now I got Tom saying Vin Sanity.
That does it for the 1 o'clock games. Let's move over to the 4, but first we'll take a break and we'll be right back.
Hey, sweetie, when I picked up the dry cleaning today, I put 43 cents into our savings.
I'll alert the media.
Introducing Keep the Change from Bank of America.
And at lunch, I put away 61 cents.
Really?
That much. Each time you buy something with your Bank of America Visa check card, we round up the amount to the next dollar and transfer your change from your checking to your savings account.
I checked online, and so far we've saved
$2.25. Wow. A whole $2.25.
Try $225.
Oh. Plus, we'll match 100% of your Keep the Change savings for the first 3 months and continue matching 5% up to $250 a year.
I'm back from the store. Just saved 8 cents.
I'll alert the media.
Open a checking account and keep the change. Only at Bank of America. Higher standards. Match paid annually after anniversary of enrollment. Savings accounts include regular savings with annual percentage yield of 0.5%. Member FDIC. Patent pending.
Well, it's that time of year again when Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty new snack wrap from McDonald's. It's a premium chicken select with lettuce, cheddar jack cheese, and ranch sauce, all wrapped in a warm flour tortilla. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select, and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it. Let's go, let's jump right in.
Come on, baby, let's go. It's here at your local Ford store. Comprehensive coverage on every vehicle we sell. That's right, Ford stands behind every 2006 model with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. Every Mustang, every 500, every Freestyle, every Explorer, even every F-Series truck. Every new 2006 Ford vehicle comes with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. That's security. Plus, right now you can get 0% financing on select Fords, 560 coverage, 0% financing. At Ford, we're with you every step of the way. See your local Ford store or call 1-877-4-FORD-10. Ford, bold moves.
Come on.
Exclusively from the New England Patriots, signed by Benjamin Watson. Free! His authentic mini helmet comes complete with a chin strap, receiver face mask, and Ben Watson's autograph. All you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait to apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Benjamin Watson. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autographed in helmet, limited to your first 400. Qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
And we're back.
This song has been buried in my house.
You know, where's Christmas Time in Hollis, Queens? You keep playing this garbage.
This is a good song.
Christmas
good,
Time in Hollis, Queens? Christmas
we go song. Through this. We went through this last year, Fred. It's by Run DMC. This is it right here.
I've never heard it before.
Yeah, you have.
I used it. It's on the open that I used at the beginning of the show.
Oh, I don't like this.
It's Christmas Time in Hollis, Queens.
You're not going to fall for the banana
chicken
and the
olive greens.
You're not going to fall for the banana and the tailpipe?
All right.
I don't like this either.
All right.
Parcells Curse checking in.
We're moving over to 4 o'clock games, and this is another one Andy has circled on his calendar. Green
How many
Bay
games did I think were good
at San Francisco.
Suck.
Oh, Fred, I should mention at the press conference, you missed Bill Belichick calling Bill Parcells a bad coach.
Really?
Yeah, he said that he doesn't look at that stupid two-point conversion card ever until late in the game and that you don't ever go for it early. So basically he said that Parcells cost him the game against Washington. That's
wow.
all I got out of it.
Wow.
Fred Kirsch style.
Playing the role of Fred Kirsch is Tom Casale.
Okay. Green Bay at San Francisco. San Francisco is a 4.5-point favorite over Brett Favre.
I'll take the Niners. Why not? At home, they put up a good game. Frank Gore is the next Jim Brown and Marshall Faulk and LaDainian Tomlinson all rolled into one, so I'll take them to win at home over a bad Packers team.
You know, it'd be tough if you were a Packers fan because, you know, I got to hear Brett Favre come on after a loss and say maybe I shouldn't have come back. Well, go home. You know, go home. That's what you're telling me after a loss, that maybe you shouldn't have come back?
Now he's saying he needs ankle surgery
And everything is me and I, and maybe I shouldn't have done this. So apparently he doesn't really care about the team. That's what I get from every time I hear him. I think the Niners win this game big. I think the Packers are in the bag.
Okay.
I like the Niners, too. I agree, obviously, everything you said about Brett Favre. He's really holding that team hostage. Just needs to leave. Just go away.
He really
away.
Does.
Just go away. You had a great career. I mean, I'm not. It's Slugger. Like Corey Dillon. You know, I'm not taking it away what he did. You know, people get on Tom and I because we like Maroney better than Dillon. It doesn't mean that I don't think he was a great running back. It doesn't mean I don't think Brett Favre was a great quarterback. I just think his time has passed. I wish him well.
All right. I have to concur with the pick. I'm going with San Francisco. You know, if I'm a San Francisco fan, I'm a little bit excited about this team. A little bit excited about the future.
You know what was cool? Did you guys see any of the highlights of the Niners and Saints when, you know, Reggie Bush and Alex Smith were high school teammates, and you see the coach? That
yeah,
was,
yeah.
That guy looked like he had more fun at that game than, you know, first of all, anybody at Gillette Stadium who just they all just sit there like they're in a mortuary or something. But that guy just seemed to really soak up that fact that he had two of his former players going head-to-head, and they both, you know, Alex Smith made a couple of plays, and obviously Reggie Bush had his best game as a pro, so it was, I thought that was pretty cool. Maybe
well,
I'm the only one.
Plus he coached back-to-back years, the NFL's first, oh, wait a minute.
Yep, the Texans ruined that.
Texans porked
you'll,
that guy.
You'll read a lot of those. You'll read a lot of those kind of comments in this upcoming preview.
Okay, all right, so that's that game. Move over to Seattle Seahawks. Now they're back healthy at Arizona.
You're taking Arizona?
And,
no, I don't know who they're playing. Seattle is a little confused over there.
No, Seattle is a 3-point favorite.
Seattle wins. They need to build here. They got their guys back. They need to get playing good football, which is all it really takes to win the NFC. And I think they need to do that. And this is a good week to work in that direction.
What does it take to win the AFC?
Huh?
What does it take to win?
Not
in the
bad
NFC?
Football.
Okay. All it takes is playing good football
no,
in the NFC.
I just think any team can show up, and I kind of feel about both conferences the same now, but I think if they just do what they can do, they should be able to have a very good chance to go back to the Super Bowl. And I think Sean Alexander will rush for about $180 behind right tackle Tom Ashworth.
Good theory. I would like Arizona to win, but they have no chance in this game. Even when Seattle stunk on the road, for some reason, they used to whoop Arizona in Arizona. I think they got quite a winning streak going there, so I'll go with the Seahawks to win big. Deion Branch, big game.
Yeah, I like the Seahawks, too.
Thanks to the pass protection of Tom Ashworth at right tackle.
Arizona's just not very good. I like the Seahawks. I don't think they'll slip up against a bad team like this.
Yeah, I got to go with Seattle as well in this game. All right, 4:15, big AFC East battle. Now, did I hear that they move this game back to 1 o'clock?
Yeah.
Okay, because it's still got it listed here at 4:15. The Bills at the Jets.
Back to one.
So this is now a 1 o'clock.
So what, did they flip flop the Giants and the Jets? The Giants were originally at 4 o'clock, so they switched them.
Because
they can't play at the same time. Yeah. Giants and Jets can't play at the same
time.
That's
what they did.
So they must have moved Giants and Carolina to four
because the Bills lost and are kind of out of it now. So
okay,
you do have a good defense though, Fred said.
So this is now a 1 o'clock game. The Bills at the Jets, meaning the game I talked about earlier, Giants at Carolina, probably a 4:15 game anyway. In this game, the Jets are favored by 4 points at home. Andy.
Jets, home team, better coach team. Coach of the year, Eric Mangini, gets them going, and they win pretty easily at home.
Yeah, I agree. Watch the Jets. They're kind of sneaking around the chicken coop there. I was very impressed last week how they went on the road and hammered a bad team. That's when teams are starting to get good. That's what they do. They hammer bad teams that they're supposed to beat. So
well, that's what the Patriots did every time.
Well, the Patriots are good, Fred. The Jets are trying to become good.
All right. Okay.
That's true, Fred.
That's true.
I think the Patriots are 9-3. We know they're good.
So I think the Jets get a pretty good win here at home.
And they roll towards the playoffs and an opening round wild card game at Gillette Stadium.
Woohoo!
I don't share the enthusiasm for the Jets, although I totally agree with how impressive they were last week. I'm going to take the Jets here, but I'll take them to cover as well. But I don't have the faith that my two compadres do. I think that these teams are pretty evenly matched, and I don't think either one of them is all that good.
I agree with Paul, and I'm going to go with the Jets to win, but the Bills to cover. So that way I can get some solace, even if the Jets win. If they don't win by more than four, I can get some glee in the Jets losing. Starting to not like the Jets again a lot.
Because they're
is
good.
That a good thing? That's a good thing,
that's
right?
That's a good thing.
That's a good thing for the AFC East.
Because for a while, I hated the Jets, you know, when Parcells was there.
When they put a bounty
on
them.
And then, you know, Herm Edwards was there, and who cares, you know.
So you fear them a little again.
A little bit. Just a little bit.
You know what would be good, Fred, is when that idiot Saban goes to Alabama, if Jimmy Johnson comes back and coaches Miami again or something, and then you get...
But I like Jimmy Johnson.
I'm saying get Miami good again.
Yeah.
How can you like Jimmy Johnson? I mean, Tom aside, I'm sure Tom has a shrine to him somewhere. But
the guy's great.
Trying to get his face tattooed on his
think
ass.
That, I think he's
such a pompous, detestable...
Yeah, but he backs it up. He's a good talent evaluator.
I didn't say he wasn't a good coach.
Yeah. I like pompous people.
You know?
See, I hang out like with you guys, don't I?
I like good people.
But, you know, I'm starting to get my hatred for the Jets back again.
Good for you, Fred. I'm glad to see that you're opening up your heart to let a
during this
more.
Holiday time.
Yeah, a little more hating.
It's
like
Christmas.
That.
It's Christmas.
Godfather hating people. It's all about Christmas.
The New York Cockroaches. All right. Sunday, 4:15, Denver Broncos at
here's another good
San
game,
Diego Chargers. You know, now... This is going to be interesting because Cutler did not really have that good a game. And if I'm San Diego, I'm chomping at the bit to get at this guy.
What's the spread?
I'll tell you in a minute. 7.5, San Diego, obviously.
They win. They cover. Lights out. Turns out Cutler's lights. You might see Plummer again. I think he really struggles in this game. And I think the San Diego Chargers put together the complete game and pretty much closed the door on the Denver Broncos.
Okay, Tom?
I'll take the Chargers to win and the Broncos to cover.
Really? Their defense?
The defense keeps them in it.
Is Al Wilson, is he coming back? Or who was the one? Was it Gold or Wilson?
No, it was Wilson.
It was Wilson. I think he's okay.
Yeah.
But someone else was out, right?
Yeah.
Well, Cecil Sapp broke his leg.
No,
someone on defense.
I think Shanahan's going to open it up a little
bit. Is there a guy named Ferguson?
No.
But he's out for the year. He was already out. Okay. I thought they lost someone else in that game the other night, though, against
what are you laughing at?
Seattle.
Nothing. Can't just chuckle. You do it all the time.
I think Shanahan's going to open it up a little bit. I think he can throw the ball on the Chargers. I don't know. 7.5 is too much as point in the season.
Yeah, I'm going to take the half point, too. I'm going to take San Diego to win, Denver to cover. Maybe Denver gets the last score to get within 7, but I think the Chargers will win this game fairly easily, and I agree with Andy's point. I think, you know, you can put an end to that Broncos season. And I actually think that when it's all said and done, you can go back and look at Mike Shanahan and how he handled the first 6 or 7 weeks. I think, A, he waited too long. If he really had that little faith in Jake Plummer, he waited too long. And, B, by not letting Plummer win or lose games and just completely relying on his defense, I think is the reason why now that Broncos defense is so bruised and battered. And, you know, maybe they would have gotten these injuries anyway, but I don't think it helped when you're playing so close to the vest that you're hoping to win 13-6 every week. I don't think that's the way you win.
When you're playing the Raiders, put them away. You know, don't leave the Raiders in the game with you for four quarters just because you want to play conservatively.
Because you're afraid to let the quarterback make a mistake. I mean, and either way you look at it, if that's what it was, you didn't have any confidence in Plummer.
The move should have been made.
You know.
Well, I mean that's interesting because we had an emailer earlier in the show wanted to talk about that situation, and you know, on one hand you can say, well, Jake Plummer could never say that Shanahan didn't give him a chance to keep his job this year. At the other hand, you can say, well, yeah, he let him play, but did he really give him the support he should have had?
Right, and I would go with the second part because, and I'm not a huge Jake Plummer fan. I'm not like Andy and think the guy has no talent or anything, but I'm not the biggest Jake Plummer fan in the world, but I think to say that you let him play is not necessarily.
Did they really let him play?
Not only they kind of shrunk the playbook and everything for
him.
But let's face it, right from the moment that they traded up for Jay Cutler, back in April when we were talking on our show back then, we all were saying this is a quarterback controversy waiting to happen. You know, it was Shanahan seemingly couldn't wait to get Plummer out of there.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's any way to go out and play at your best if you're Plummer.
All right, so you're taking Chargers.
San Diego to win, Denver to cover.
Okay. Shanahan might figure out a way to keep this close, but I got to go with San Diego both ways. I think they'll cover the 7.5. All right. Yeah. Okay, Saints, 8:15 Sunday night, Saints at Dallas. And
I think this is another good game, by the way.
This is a good game.
Most of the good games have come after you said there was a lot of good games, and I didn't know they were there yet.
Another lazy job by the Herald putting Dallas way up with the 1 o'clock games. Dallas is a 7 o'clock.
7. Seven, point.
Seven. Dallas is a 7-point favorite at home.
8 o'clock game.
Gary's just decided to take the rest of the show off because there's no circus music playing.
I'll take the Dallas Cowboys.
The button's broke.
At home. Win and cover. I think they're the better team. The only thing I think that blows it up is a Tony Romo blow-up. I don't expect it to come against the Saints. So I just think they're the better team all around, pretty much offense, defense. I know the Saints have that huge passing number that's ridiculous, but I just think all around the Cowboys have come together as a pretty good football team right now.
Yeah, I like Saints defense is tailor-made for the Cowboys. They can roll, do anything they want, pass, throw. I think T.O. has a huge game here. The only one thing I'll say about the Cowboys to watch for is they only have 22 sacks, which ranks them near the bottom of the NFL. You know, you got DeMarcus Ware, you got these guys supposed to rush the passer, and they're not getting there. You give Drew Brees time, he can pick you apart, so that'll be an interesting part of the game. But I just think at home Dallas has too much offensively.
Okay.
And isn't Parcells blaming the defensive ends?
Yeah.
Silence.
I like Dallas as well. I do think this is going to be a high-scoring game because of the last stuff that Tom said. I think the Saints have a pretty decent offense right now, and I think they will be able to throw the ball and move it and score some points. I just think Dallas will wear them down because they'll be able to run it and throw it maybe a little bit more effectively. I think Dallas's run defense is pretty good, even though you got McAllister and Bush from New Orleans. I think they'll have to do it more with Drew Brees, and Dallas will be more balanced. And I don't expect Romo to, you know, he had a pretty bad start last week. It was, you know, it looked like he was off to that game that everybody said, let's see what happens, and then all of a sudden it turned around. And, you know, a big factor for him was Kiwanuka dropping the interception when he was running it back. Otherwise, you know, Giants go down and score there, and the momentum really changes, whereas he kind of got a mulligan on it.
Is this the first time Sean Payton's played the Cowboys
since
he's left?
Well, because he's only been head coach for 1 year.
He's been the coach for 12 games.
But I am laying 1-5 that Reggie Bush makes Roy Williams look stupid in this game.
1-5.
I like that.
I'm going to go with the Cowboys to win, but the Saints to cover. I think the Cowboys are one of those teams now that other teams are measuring themselves up to. I think the Saints, they started out as a house on fire. They really still need.
Well, this is a huge game for the number 2 seed.
It is a huge game. So I'm looking at a tough game. You know,
what's Seattle's record?
They're all
aren't they all 8-4?
They're all 8-4. All three teams.
Yeah, yeah. It seems like everybody is saying this is the big game for the number two seed, kind of forgetting about Seattle. Yeah.
Well, say that the loser falls behind the eight ball, figuring Seattle would beat Arizona.
Yeah, but I've been hearing it more as the winner has the inside track for the number two seed. And
well, the Cowboys don't have a very good conference record, so
yeah. Well, I agree with Paul. I think eventually Dallas just wears them down in this game. But I'm looking at that New Orleans to keep it close. Okay. Monday, 8:30, Chicago at St. Louis. The Bears are 6.5-point favorites in this game.
Such an idiot.
I just like listening to the music play out. I actually think this is a tougher game than maybe it appears on paper because Rex Grossman has played so poorly of late. I'll take the Bears to win because I think they're the better team, and that defense has shown that it can overcome poor play from the quarterback, and I think they can run the ball on the Rams, so I think they'll actually cover. But the one fear is, and that's the fear for this team now through whenever they lose or win a Super Bowl title, is what Rex Grossman does or doesn't do to hurt their chances winning and losing. So I think they run the ball and play defense, and that's why they win. Any chance they lose is all Rex Grossman.
No, I got one for you. I like the Rams, and I like them to blow them out.
Really?
I like them to win by 3 touchdowns here.
Wow.
I think the Bears have a lot of problems right now, and I think it's going to be shown this week in St. Louis. I think the Rams can move the football on them because they throw down the field. If they can keep, they need to keep Bulger protected. That's going to be the key. But I think Rex Grossman is heading down. He's playing worse and worse each week.
No question.
And I just got this vision in my head of a couple interceptions returned for touchdowns, and they keep showing Lovie Smith on the sidelines. And
we're 10-2 with Rex Grossman as our quarterback.
Yeah, I think they got problems, and I think it's going to show up this week.
Yeah, I don't have the same fear. I'm going to go with Chicago here, and I think that the Rams' defense is terrible. And well, it wasn't actually that bad. They've really been hit hard with injuries, and it's shown over the last month and a half. Hearing a lot of quotes, that Mark Bulger, quote last week really was an eye opener about guys not playing hard and not doing what it takes and whatnot. And when people are talking like that, I don't think it generally just gets fixed with one week, and I think the Rams are playing out the string. I like the Bears to win big and Grossman to look a little bit better. Obviously, he couldn't look any worse. 1.3.
Well, 1.2.
Yeah,
I like the Bears.
I like the Bears in this game too, but I'm going to take the Rams to cover.
Okay.
Fred's big on the covers this week. lose but cover.
All right. Okay, that brings us back to 1 o'clock in the Patriots down in Dolphin Stadium now. It's no longer Pro Player Stadium. It's now Dolphin Stadium.
It hasn't been Pro Player Stadium for a while. They dropped the S. It's now Dolphin.
It went from Dolphins Stadium to Dolphin.
Dolphin Stadium. And is that because he can't find a sponsor or he's just...
I don't know.
Okay, well anyway.
The sponsor Pro Player went out of business.
I know.
Oh, okay.
Now they don't have another one, naming rights person.
Yeah, I don't know.
So, you would think the Dolphins, they're a pretty big franchise. I mean, a lot of people around the country are big Dolphin fans.
And I also wonder, he owns stuff. Couldn't he do like a...
He used to own Blockbuster,
cross-promotion,
but I'm not sure if he sold it or not.
But doesn't he own car dealerships?
Yeah,
something
like that.
I would think he would have other... At worst case scenario, you tie it into another business and somehow help each other out.
Well, yeah, but you're not going to do something on a temporary basis. It's too big a thing to say, I'll just keep it, give it one of my companies until I sell it.
Oh, they changed it to Dolphin from Dolphins.
Yeah, well.
That seems like a pretty minor, stupid, temporary change.
It's one less letter that you have to, makes the signs cheaper.
I'll tell you what, wake me up when I care. Line to the game. I mean, Jesus. You two over here talking about Dolphins. I don't even know what you're talking about.
All right, I got to get you the line here.
Lazy Harold.
Patriots are 3.5-point favorites.
Patriots will cover. Patriots will win. Patriots will have a decent game, bounce back. Because if they don't, then they're just not a very good football team. I think they avoid the horror show that they've had at times down there. I think Tom Brady will have a efficient game, if not spectacular.
Well, if it's a tough game, if it's a hard-fought win.
I got no problem if they were a hard-fought win, as long as they
don't
turn the ball.
You don't mind that, right?
No. But I think they're the better team.
So I was to say, Miami's pretty good.
Well, they're okay.
Yeah, but
they're
okay. They've played tough and beaten some good teams in this league.
Right. Once all the pressure was off of the predictions that they were Super Bowl contender.
But you know,
bottom line, Patriots win the game. Patriots do enough. I think they play a very clean game because I think they're a little bit embarrassed. I think as a whole, I think the energy will be there. There won't be any trepidation. Oh, we're in Miami. Whatever. I think they come out focused, physical, and energetic. And that, in the end, puts them over the top.
Focused, physical, and energetic.
Who are you taking, Paul?
I think I'm going to take Miami.
Yeah, I think I'm going to stick with my pick, too.
Really?
Well, I like the Patriots to go 12-4 this year. I'm looking at the rest of their games. I don't like the way Jacksonville matches up with them. So I took them to lose here, but this whole Nick Saban crap is...
Well, you know what? That's why I was... And the only reason why I'm taking him now is because I don't want to be inconsistent. But I do think that that Nick Saban thing...
You can do this different here.
No, it's not.
It's something that wasn't...
The Nick Saban thing...
It didn't exist when you made your pick before.
Yeah, the Nick Saban thing, I think, is a concern in Miami. If his...
He's a weasel. That? You think that's true?
Yeah, I do, because the guy's a weasel.
Well, I think he's... Yeah, I think he's all out for himself.
No question about that.
You can tell when
Nick
he talks
Saban
with
is
that
all about
cocky
Nick Saban.
Look on his face. Yep.
I'm being good, too.
It's, I don't know. I think it's going to be a tough, close game like it always is down there. I guess I'll go with the Dolphins to pull the upset and Andy Hart to pull one game closer to me for making a stupid pick in this contest.
Yeah, I'm going to take Miami, too, and they beat Chicago, and then really they haven't beaten anybody else. They beat Detroit, they beat Tennessee. And then they had a game last week that they had a chance to make a statement at home against Jacksonville, a team that was similar to them, and they really weren't very competitive. They got off to a good start. Then Harrington does what he has done all year, turn the ball over. People kind of look at this and say, oh, Joey Harrington's the big difference. Joey Harrington has gotten intercepted, whereas Dante Culpepper was getting sacked. There's really no difference, in my opinion, of their ineffectiveness. Neither one of them has done the job. And until Miami gets a quarterback, I think they're stuck in neutral. I think they're a mediocre 500 team, and maybe that's why Nick Saban wants out.
All right. Well, I'm going to go with the Patriots. I think it's going to be 14-7, something around there. It's not going to be easy.
I'm stunned.
But I think the Patriots defense gets it done, and I'm hoping that at least they play clean on offense. All right. That's it for this show. We'll be back tomorrow. Tom, who's doing the show tomorrow?
That'll be you and Tom.
And locker room is at 1:30.
A couple more emails there, Freddie.
Yeah, we got to go. All right, that's going to be it for this edition. We'll see you tomorrow.